KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, sending out congratulations to Seth Overton. He was the winner of our Black Bear Diner contest. He picked up a $150 gift certificate from Black Bear Diner. And we would like to thank all of those who participated in the Black Bear Diner contest on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 a.m. Your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, the Republican Party is absolutely incompetent. I mean, there's no other way to put this. What exactly has the Republican Party accomplished in the last, say, 4 years? The last time the Republican Party accomplished anything is when President Trump was president and Republicans had unified control of the House and the Senate. And since then, they've been absolutely incompetent at everything. So incompetent that the Republicans in the Senate distrust the Republicans in the House to the extent that they voted along with Democrats by a huge margin in order to advance a $1.7 trillion omnibus spending package, 4,155 pages long. And the question is, why exactly they would do this? Why would Mitch McConnell, as well as the other 17 Republicans who voted in favor of this thing in the Senate, why would they do that? I mean, because this is a pretty broad spectrum group of people who voted in favor of the omnibus spending package. It included people like McConnell, of course, but also it included Richard Shelby, Roy Blunt, John Boozman of Arkansas, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, John Cornyn, Tom Cotton voted in favor of it, Lindsey Graham, Jim Inhofe, Jerry Moran, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Mike Rounds, John Thune, Roger Wicker, and Todd Young. These are not all, quote-unquote, moderate Republicans. Some of these people are pretty conservative. Tom Cotton is a very conservative senator. Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma is a very conservative senator. They voted in favor of this omnibus package anyway. Now, Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be Speaker of the House, it is still not clear whether he actually has the votes to be Speaker of the House in the upcoming Congress. He had threatened, along with a bunch of other Republicans in the House, that if these senators voted in favor of the omnibus package, whatever their priorities were in the next Congress, the next Congress would not take up those priorities. Richard Shelby of Alabama, he said, he's focused on being Speaker. If I were in his shoes, that's what I would be focused on, trying to get enough votes, but I don't think that intimidates anybody. So what exactly happened here? Well, the answer from a political point of view is pretty obvious. The Republicans in the House are a fractious bunch. The majority that Republicans are going to have in the next Congress is extraordinarily slim. I mean, we are talking about single-digit majority in the next Congress. And because of that, that means that the Republican Party is going to have a very difficult time actually marshaling a majority on many of these votes. Republicans are slated to have 222 votes going into the next Congress. You require 218 for a majority, which means they have a slim 4-seat margin. And if anybody is sick, inside the Republican caucus turns into a 3-seat or a 2-seat margin. When you're talking about a caucus of 222 people, there's a good shot that many of those people are not going to be there on an everyday basis. Some will be back home, some will be sick, some of them are going to just be drunk, a lot of drunks in Congress. Whatever the reason, that slim margin means that the most radical elements of your party are going to have control of the party unless you have very strong leadership. And one thing you can say for the Democrats is that they do have very strong leadership. Nancy Pelosi, as much as I dislike Nancy Pelosi, she threaded the needle with an extraordinarily slim Democratic majority. Now, she, of course, was working with a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate, so she had a lot of leverage to use. If it had been only a Democratic House, then it is unclear exactly whether she would have had the leverage that normally she'd be seeking. The Democratic Party also happens to be a lot more ideologically coherent than the Republican Party at this point. The Democratic Party has essentially nobody in it who is pro-life. The Democratic Party is fairly unified on economic matters. They have some divisions on foreign policy matters. But overall, the Democratic Party is left. The center left has basically gone away. It is left and then radical left. The Republican Party has a broad swath of people, ranging from, if you look in the Senate, people like Lisa Murkowski, all the way out to people like Ted Cruz. And what that means is very hard to cobble together a majority. If you look in the House, the same sort of thing applies. You have people in the Freedom Caucus, and then you have people who are kind of left-leaning Republicans from New York or from California. What that means is that there is no margin for error in the House, and if there is not a leader who is capable of actually whipping the votes, then the Republicans in the Senate are very much afraid that what you'll end up with is a government shutdown. And this is the thing Mitch McConnell fears more than anything else in life, is another one of these government shutdowns that ends with Joe Biden sitting there and laughing at the Republicans as he waits for their approval ratings to crater leading up to 2024. And so basically what happened here is that the Republicans in the Senate did not trust the leadership in the House enough to say that when you guys take the majority, we think that we can work with you in order to come up with a cohesive strategy. And at this point, McConnell doesn't even know who he's negotiating with. Again, this is not making an excuse for McConnell. This is explaining the logic behind what McConnell is doing. There is a logic. The answer to that logic is that McConnell, other members of the Senate, they should attempt to work with members of the Republican House in order to find a consensus candidate for Speaker if they don't think McCarthy can get the job done. Right now, they don't even know if they're negotiating with McCarthy because it's not clear, thanks to Matt Gaetz and some of the other sort of more right-wing Republicans in the House, some more of the sort of Trump MAGA Republicans in the House, many of them have said that they will not support, under any circumstances, McCarthy for Speaker. And remember, again, he has a four-seat majority. Which means that if five of them say no, and all the Democrats say no, McCarthy ain't the Speaker. And we have this kind of bizarre spectacle right now of a bunch of Republicans in the House who have no plausible alternative for the Speaker of the House saying they will not vote for McCarthy. And so McConnell doesn't even know who he's negotiating with in the House in order to craft a future strategy going into January. So the easy solution for McConnell was we vote in favor of this omnibus. We assume that there will be no actual electoral blowback because, honestly, when was the last time there was electoral blowback to a Republican for spending too much? It just doesn't happen. It really doesn't. And the American people don't like spending all this money, and they tend to punish the party that spends the most money. But if both parties are spending the money, nobody gets punished. It's sort of a prisoner's dilemma. If you look at game theory, what game theory sort of suggests is that when you have a situation in which the second best option for both parties, not the first best option, the first best option is you win, they lose. The second best option is sort of the you both almost you both lose scenario is sort of the second best option in prisoner's dilemma. When both parties spend, then what you end up with is nobody loses, essentially. Both parties kind of lose, but or the country loses, but neither party actually loses because there's nobody to hold accountable for the spending. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance. But the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. So McConnell and these other Republicans are voting in favor of this thing in order to take a government shutdown or a debt ceiling fight off the table for the next year because they don't even know who they're negotiating with in the House. Once again, lack of Republican leadership is an astonishing thing right now. It really is a problem. The Republican Party used to be a vehicle for victory, as I've talked about, because all parties are supposed to be a vehicle for victory. They're not supposed to be ideological tentpoles. They're just repositories of political momentum. This is why you see parties replaced sometimes. This is why you see Donald Trump able to completely hollow out the inside of the Republican Party and just take that sucker over. Because, again, whoever wins tends to have the momentum, can take over the party. But what if there's nobody actually there to create a cohesive victory strategy for the Republican Party? And what if many of the tools that the party used to use to punish people, so, for example, punishing senators at the state legislature level for not doing what the state wanted them to do, that's gone away thanks to the 17th Amendment. Or let's say that in the House, it used to be that the party would punish you by taking away your committee assignment, or would punish you by trying to primary you. Now the party doesn't do any of those things. So when that is the case, what that means, the party has no leverage over you. And all the momentum in the party goes to the people who are on the TV the most, and they have control over the future of the party. Now, the Democratic Party has kept most of its patronage system. The Democratic Party has indeed retained an enormous amount of power over its own members. The Republican Party is not. The Republican Party has basically dissolved all power at the top levels of the party. And what that means is that without any level of cohesion, there's chaos. And with chaos, McConnell and company are just going to look for the easiest possible political solution, which means spending enormous sums of your own money. So the question as to what exactly the grand old party does these days is very open. What exactly would you say the Republican Party does do these days when they are signing on the dotted line on the same bills the Democrats are signing on to? What exactly? This is not a compromise piece of legislation. It blows out the budget again with another bill that no one has read and is filled with pork and is filled with bad priorities. So what exactly does the Republican Party do? It's a serious question. There better be some leadership inside the Republican Party in short order, or they will be in a state of collapse, despite the fact that the Democratic Party is wildly unpopular. I honestly cannot remember the last time a party took over the House and was considered more in disarray than the party that had just lost. Remember, the Democrats control the House right now. In January, they won't. But it's the Republican Party that seems to be on the ropes in the House, and the Democratic Party that seems to be in control in the House, which is an amazing spectacle and a demonstration of a complete lack of any sort of backbone or leadership capacity inside the Republican House. So what exactly was in this monstrosity? There's a lot in a $1.7 trillion bill. Again, it was a bipartisan 68-29 vote to tee up the measure for debate in the House. The compilation of long-stalled appropriations bills known as Nomnibus would provide nearly $773 billion for domestic programs and more than $850 billion for the military, covering expenses through the 2023 fiscal year, which concludes at the end of September. This is why you're seeing hawkish people like Tom Cotton sign on. He's saying we can't afford to hold up military spending. We don't want a government shutdown. That's why Cotton, who happens to be fiscally conservative, signed on to this thing. It's for the military spending. Republicans had insisted on robust Pentagon funding in months-long talks with Democrats, who secured some but not all of the health, education, labor, and economic spending they wanted. The must-pass nature of the bill, it was the final major piece of legislation before Congress resets in the new year, also offered a window for lawmakers to advance other long-stalled priorities. The sweeping omnibus is filled with provisions that would expand some Medicaid benefits, help Americans save for retirement, revise the presidential vote count, electoral vote counting process, and ban TikTok on government devices. But you could have done all of these as separate bills. The whole purpose of an omnibus sandwich is to be a crap sandwich. That's the entire purpose of it. Get people to vote for $800 billion in useless spending in order to get the military spending. Or if you are the Democrats, get people to vote for the useless spending and then bite your tongue and vote for the military spending. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said this is one of the most significant appropriations packages we have done in a long time. He stressed that it, quote, made aggressive investments in American families, workers, and national defense. By the way, you know what it didn't do? Was actually preserve the border, for example. There's no funding for closing the border. Title 42, there was an amendment that was proposed by Mike Lee to maintain Title 42, so at least in the short term we can shut the border. That was rejected. There was, of course, that $45 billion in appropriations for Ukrainian weaponry. And you can be in favor of that and still be very much against an omnibus package that includes an additional $1.65 trillion. Mike Lee said this is an act of extortion being leveraged on the United States Senate right before Christmas. This, of course, happens to be exactly true. Late on Wednesday night, Lee held up consideration of the omnibus as he tried to force lawmakers to extend a controversial immigration policy implemented during the Trump administration. Senate leaders ultimately worked out an arrangement to permit several amendment votes on the policy, known as Title 42, placating Lee, but his gambit failed. It allowed lawmakers to finalize the bill hours later. Get some more on this in just one second. First, I need you to do something today. With airfare prices surging and flights being canceled left and right, it's harder than ever for our wounded and ill service members to be with their loved ones on Christmas. Unless we do something right now, within the next 2 weeks, hundreds of these service members will be forced to be apart from their families on Christmas. Luke's Wings believes every wounded warrior should be able to spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, they've provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets reuniting families with these service members. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Donate right now. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers are running out of time. Please make a meaningful impact this Christmas for people who have sacrificed nearly everything for the country. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. Lukeswings.org. You can help bring together a family. You can bring together a wounded warrior and members of their family on Christmas. Pretty amazing cause. Go check them out today. Lukeswings.org. Again, that's lukeswings.org to give and bring a family together for the Christmas holiday.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up. So what exactly is in this omnibus package? A lot of stuff. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pen, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Renning Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Renning Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Renning Kia. RenningKia.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, it's an omnibus package, 4,155 pages, $1.7 trillion. There's a lot of stuff in it. According to Politico, Ukraine aid is in the bill. That TikTok ban that was pushed by Senator Josh Hawley that barred the download of TikTok on government devices made it into the bill. That, of course, is like baseline stuff. Of course the TikTok ban should be in the bill. We just found out over the course of the last 48 hours that TikTok actually spied on journalists. CNN reported literally yesterday the TikTok parent company ByteDance had to fire 4 employees who improperly accessed the personal data of 2 journalists on the platform, according to a TikTok spokesperson named Brooke Oberwetter. It creates things like telehealth extensions, which are fine. I mean, first of all, the fact that telehealth is banned in particular states is idiotic. Of course, you should be able to consult with a doctor who happens to be out of state via the internet. There is a lobster lifeline, which is exciting. Maine lawmakers successfully included a pause on new regulations they warned would cripple their state's lobster industry. There's also a bunch of tax provisions. There's a bunch of spending on the FBI, which is kind of astonishing considering the scandal that has now engulfed the FBI in coordinating with social media in order to shut down information about, for example, the Hunter Biden laptop story. So Republicans and Democrats voted for a big pay raise for the FBI, essentially. There is a boost for the National Labor Relations Board, the single worst piece of regulatory oversight mechanism in the United States. The NLRB is garbage. Lawmakers increased the budget for the NLRB by $25 million for the first time in nearly a decade. The NLRB's job is basically to yell at businesses until they do the bidding of Democrats. What else is what's out? Well, Biden had wanted $9 billion to help combat the COVID pandemic and other stuff, but that ended up out of the deal. there was apparently a piece of legislation that would have expanded protections for pregnant workers that didn't make it into the bill. But there are a bunch of business propositions that made it into the bill, some of which are pretty terrible. So, for example, antitrust efforts could get a boost at the federal and state levels, according to the Wall Street Journal. Fees would rise for merger filings. So what this means is more government intervention in the markets. The FDA gets new powers to oversee baby formula and cosmetics and to try to ensure that drugs granted a speedy approval undergo further testing to confirm that they work. Giving more funding to the FDA has been obviously an amazing move. The FDA did a horrible job during this pandemic. Retirees could postpone mandatory withdrawals from tax-deferred retirement accounts until they are 73 or 75 instead of 72 under the current rules. The legislation makes it easier for the president to release heating oil from the Federal Reserves. I mean, it's an agglomeration of just nonsense. I mean, there's some stuff here that's good, and there's a bunch of stuff here that's really bad. But what this really means in the long term is that we are not getting our spending problem under control, and we are, by the way, inflating the currency in the middle of an inflationary cycle. Inflation still has not come down, and the Congress's solution is, what if we toss another $2 trillion in spending in there? Now, this is part of a broader problem that's about to engulf Western markets, which is that governments just keep spending and spending and spending and spending. And they can try to crack down on inflation with their central banking procedures, but they're not going to be able to stop the economic stagnation that's to come when you just spend too much money. As Margaret Thatcher once said, eventually you run out of other people's money. And that is what's going to happen in Europe. Investors are bracing for European governments, led by Germany, to flood the market with new debt next year as they spend heavily to shield their economies from high energy costs, according to the Wall Street Journal. Governments in Europe are expected to increase bond issuance by 10% to 1.2 trillion euros in 2023. It's equivalent to about $1.27 trillion. That comes as the European Central Bank steps back from its role as a voracious buyer of eurozone government bonds, with plans to start shrinking its bond portfolio starting in March. So this flood of new debt from Germany and other eurozone countries means that they are going to start issuing more debt. It means that you're going to see larger debt and deficits. And this means, in the end, economic stagnation. It also means, in the United States, when you look at the measures that the White House is currently taking, when you spend this much money and when you encourage people not to work, what you end up is less people in the workforce, which means that by all Democratic governing strategies, when you have created a piece of policy that fails, you then create a piggyback piece of policy that also fails. According to the Wall Street Journal, top White House economic officials are considering a renewed push for a suite of policies aimed at luring more Americans back to work. You know what we used to call it to lure Americans back to work? Paying them a salary. It used to be in this country. You didn't have to lure people back to work. People looked for work in this country. I have to lure people. Like, what bizarre notion of markets is it that you lure people to work? The lure was the pay. You don't have to have the government luring people back to work unless the government is also paying people to stay home. So there's a quick solution for that. Stop paying people to stay home. So what exactly is the White House going to do? They're now talking about an enhanced child care and elder care benefit as they hammer out priorities for the coming year. The question of how to find enough workers has emerged as a significant issue as the country emerges from the pandemic, with a smaller share of adults working or looking for work than in early 2020. White House economic officials expect to brief President Biden on their thoughts over the holiday break as the administration shapes its agenda for 2023 and plans for Biden's State of the Union address. Brian Deese, director of the White House's National Economic Council, said to the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Where are places where we can lower price pressures on the economy, lower costs for consumers, increase the productive potential of the economy? The things we prioritize and focus on will be in that area." He didn't make clear exactly what that would look like, but the White House is going to push for paid family leave, universal pre-K, permanent expansion of the child tax credit, etc. So again, the idea is going to be that we are going to give you additional benefits from the government side if you go to work, as opposed to, you know, taking away the benefits that we are currently giving you to stay home and sit flat on your ass for years on end. Which means more spending, of course, and forever. Will Republicans actually stand up to that? Totally unclear. Because, I mean, let's be real about this. If what we just saw in the Senate Republicans voting for an omnibus package with Democrats in order to avoid negotiating with Republicans, there's no reason they can't do that next year. If the Republicans take over Congress, and if the new Speaker, whoever it is, Kevin McCarthy or anybody else, is unable to wield a durable majority in the House, you could see a bunch of Republicans just peel off and vote with the Democrats and start advancing Joe Biden's priorities. That's how weak the party is right now. Now, the predictable result of all of this is that you are going to have a stagnating economy in the very near future. The U.S. labor market continues to remain very tight because, again, we spent trillions of dollars to keep people at home. People continue to spend money. This continues to drive up the inflation rates, which is going to mean that the Federal Reserve has to drive down all of the inflation rates through higher interest rates, which is going to mean long-term economic stagnation. This is the direction in which the economy is going to move. And Democrats can't stop, won't stop. Are going to continue to push broader spending initiatives that please their most ardent fans. Alrighty, coming up, Democrats, they are pushing for more spending, and this is why Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib are now dancing on TikTok or something. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Redding Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Reading. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates.
No bites.
Welcome back to this Ben Shapiro Show. Well, Democrats have never stopped spending money, and this is why Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush are now dancing on TikTok to relieve student loan debt or some such.
What you doing? What you doing? Where you at? Where you at? Oh, you got plans.
Oh, no. Yeah. Nothing worse than Congress people doing TikTok. I mean, first of all, no one should ever do TikTok dances. Are you an adult? Be an adult. But aside from that, also you shouldn't be on TikTok because they're going to steal all your data. So you have Congress people on TikTok giving their data to the Chinese while doing videos about canceling student loan debt. Both of those people, I believe, went to college, which is a good reason why you should never relieve their student loan debt, ever, ever, ever. And again, the Democrats will continue to pursue really bad policy. The question is, do the Republicans have any power to stand up to it? One of the funniest things about the Democrats' bad policy, by the way, is that they have to spend a lot of time pretending that the bad policy doesn't actually exist. So Mayor Eric Adams is about to be hit with 1,000 illegal immigrants a day once Title 42 ends. And this is what New York City is actually foreseeing. He says that Joe Biden is doing fine on the border. Things are great.
Chuck Schumer, New York senator, managed to negotiate an increase from $150 million to $800 million for the cities that receive asylum seekers. And we're told, according to multiple sources, that New York City is positioned to receive a large batch of that amount. So here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams responding to that news this week.
I think the president has a good understanding of how this is a real issue. We were able to get this omnibus bill, it has the money in it that we need, some of the money in that we need. This is a national issue. And that's my conversation with the president's team.
So this is the same mayor who was yelling at Greg Abbott for shipping a few illegal immigrants up to New York City. But he's saying that Joe Biden is doing an amazing job. Listen, they're gaps in the Biden-Democrat policy wide enough to drive a Mack truck through. Joe Biden's approval rating right now is in the low 40s at best. And yet Republicans seem utterly incapable of taking advantage of that. Now, one reason for that, of course, is that the media are completely in the pocket of Democrats. Nancy Pelosi, who is now leaving her position as Speaker of the House, she won't be the House Minority Leader either. Hakeem Jeffries is about to take that over. She gave her last weekly press briefing yesterday as Speaker of the House with apparently a bunch of crumbs on her jacket or something. The hobbitses took the last of the lambless bread. But Nancy Pelosi, she actually, this is my favorite thing about the relationship between Democrats and their Praetorian Guard, is that they don't even pretend that the reporters aren't their best friends. It's really funny. Republicans deal with reporters and they're like, God, you guys are just, I understand your opposition and we'll treat each other respectfully, but I'm going to call you out on your nonsense. Democrats are like, go forward and do the work of the people. Like they turn into like Mr. Chips at the end of Goodbye, Mr. Chips, just giving lectures to the students. Here's Nancy Pelosi explaining to the media that they do an amazing job.
As you know, this is my final weekly press conference. And some of you have been covering Congress for a long time. Others are new. All of you are guardians of democracy. You've heard me say again and again, if there were one freedom in the First Amendment, the freedom of the press, that would be the one that protects and defends all the other freedoms.
It must be wonderful being a Democrat when you have an entire legacy media dedicated to your preservation and glorification. It must be just absolutely wonderful. And that's why you're able to move forward with terrible policy repeatedly. Now, the Democrats don't just rely on the media in order to push forward their policy. They have a bunch of forces working in their favor. One, Republican incompetence. Two, the media being their absolute best friends. And three, the ability to misdirect because of one and two issues that do not actually take top priority for the American people, but they can spend inordinate amounts of time on. So Joe Biden made his Christmas address the other night. You know, he's able to mix religion and politics so long as the religion is so watered down that it doesn't actually hold by anything. This is the rule in American politics, is you're allowed to make religious appeals, but only to things that have nothing to do with religion or to a vague sort of spirituality that has nothing to do with the actual gospel if you're Christian, for example. A little bit more on this in just a moment. First, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
So Joe Biden, he used Christmas as a time to talk up what a unifying man he was. I noticed that he wasn't in front of Independence Hall yelling at his political opponents and calling them fascists this time while calling for unity. Instead, he was in front of a bunch of twinkly lights over at the White House and explaining that he was a very unifying man.
I sincerely hope this holiday season will drain the poison that has infected our politics and set us against one another. I hope this Christmas season marks a fresh start for our nation, because there's so much that unites us as Americans.
Well, actually, there is increasingly little that unites us as Americans. This is actually what the Census Bureau is now showing. There are a couple of pieces of data that have come out in the last 24 hours showing that when it comes to the fundamental bases upon which we predicate our social fabric, many of these things are wearing away. And this is why you are seeing a big sort happening in American life. So there's a certain irony to Joe Biden, who's a deeply anti-religious figure. If you look at his social policy, transing the children, same-sex marriage, these are policies that are directed against traditional religion. There's a president who has suggested that basically, if you're a traditionally religious person, your religious practice needs to end at the front door of your home or at the side door of your church. That's where your religious practice ends. And even there, he's basically saying we can do that for now, but not for very long. And he's banking on the fact that in the United States, church attendance has been dropping, that religious adherence has been dropping. Because if you get rid of the church, then the God becomes the state. These two things tend to merge. Human beings have a religious impulse. They want to follow something. And Joe Biden believes that what people should follow is the moral suasion of government. And so he does have some forces working in his favor here, including the lack of religious traditionalism in America right now. According to Hannah Blow, reporting for Breitbart, church attendance and general belief in God has dropped in the United States over the past few years, according to recent surveys. A Gallup survey released over the summer found that belief in God sunk to an all-time low this year, down to 81%. It identified young individuals and leftists as the people most likely to not believe in God. It works the other way around, by the way. The people who are most likely not to believe in God tend to be leftists. It's not just the leftists don't believe in God. It's people who don't believe in God tend to move toward the left. As Breitbart reported at the time, according to the survey, most U.S. adults, 81%, believe in God. While that figure seems high, it's the lowest percentage ever recorded in the survey. Also, there are a lot of people who say they believe in God, but what they mean by believing God is they believe in vague spiritual forces and sort of the C.S. Lewis description of the term. Up until 2011, over 90% of Americans said they believed in God. The number has continued to drop. It's now down 8 points from 89% who expressed belief in God in 2016, which is a radical decrease. You're talking about a 10% decrease in just the last 10 years. The previous low was set in 2014 when 86% said they believed in God. When Gallup asked the same question in 1953, 54, 65, 67, 98% said they believed in God. Also, The Hill found roughly one-fifth of Americans do not consider themselves part of a religion, which coincides with the percentage of Americans not expressing belief in God as well. And again, this leaves out the fact that a huge people who say that they are part of religion aren't actually adherents to the specific tenets of the religion. I mean, Joe Biden says that he's a religious Catholic, and then again, promotes a bunch of policy that is directly against the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Same thing for Nancy Pelosi. A survey Center on American Life report detailed in March 2020 found that younger generations are less likely to adhere to a religion. Over one-third of Generation Z, 34%, consider themselves unaffiliated from religious groups. That figure decreases to 29% among millennials, 25% among Generation X, 18% among baby boomers, and 9% of the silent generation. There's been a precipitous drop in church membership over the past 3 decades among those on the political left. In 1998, a majority of liberals, 57%, were members of a church or other type of religious organization. Now, 35% of liberals say that they are members of church or another religious organization. So when you have Joe Biden sitting there and talking about the unifying traditions of the United States in front of a bunch of Christmas trees, what he does not mean is actual traditional religion, which was the glue that bound together the social fabric of the United States. De Tocqueville talks about this. He talks about how religious adherence among common people who gathered together in churches and communities was the glue that held together the United States in the absence of an overarching central government. When you lose that glue, then there has to be some sort of ersatz glue that is used. A stapler is used, and that stapler tends to come in the form of government. And Joe Biden knows this. This is not just happening in the United States, by the way. This is happening all around the world. The secular trends that have taken over the West are going to eat the West. They are going to destroy the West. They're going to destroy all of the rights that people have traditionally enjoyed in the United States. Because the thing is that what upholds the rights of people is, in fact, the fundamental institutions that undergird those rights. Rights don't just come tabula rasa from nowhere. Rights do not pre-exist institutions. They coincide with institutions. If you read Lockean philosophy, here's where John Locke was wrong. He suggested, if you read him in a particular way, that rights are inherent and institutions are sort of artificial. That is not correct. Institutions pre-exist rights. Families, the chief institution, pre-exist rights. Rights were created in order to protect families, in order to protect spheres of freedom within the roles and institutions that already existed. When rights start to destroy the institutions, the rights themselves are going to fall apart. And that's exactly what's happened in, for example, the UK. In the UK, the institutions of church, of religion, these have become taboo. This is also happening in Canada, for example. It's happened all over Europe, and at least Western Europe. Eastern Europe is still very religious. And when you look to what's happening in Britain, you'll notice that one of the first things to go, along with freedom of religion, is freedom of speech. There's an amazing story out of the UK yesterday in which a pro-life activist was arrested for literally standing outside an abortion clinic. Now, she wasn't harassing anybody. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't holding a sign. She was a person standing there. But you are not allowed to stand there. There's tape that actually emerged of this incident in Britain. It's pretty incredible.
Before I ask you any questions about what's going on today, I have to caution you, which is just your rights, which is you do not have to say anything. It may harm your defence if you do not mention one question, something that you later on in court, anything you do say may be given. What are you here for today?
Physically, I'm just standing here.
Okay. Why here, of all places? I know you don't live nearby.
But this is an abortion something.
Okay, that's why you're standing here. Is you standing here part of the protest?
No, I'm not protesting.
Are you praying?
I might be praying in my head.
I'll ask you once more, will you voluntarily come with us now to the police station for me to ask you some questions about today and other days where there are allegations that you've broken public spaces protection?
If I've got a choice, then no.
Okay, well then, you're under arrest, a clear suspicion of failing to comply with the public spaces protection order.
Okay, so the public spaces protection order says that you are not allowed to stand outside an abortion clinic not doing anything. Right? Any other place in the UK, you can apparently just stand there. I mean, they could have arrested her for loitering or trespassing. They don't. They're arresting her because she is silently praying in her head without moving her face. You think that rights matter in the UK? They do not. We're not even talking about freedom of religion. That'd be like freedom of speech. How about like freedom of standing there? According to Fox News, Isabel Vaughn Spruce, director of the UK March for Life, was standing near the BPAS Robert Clinic in King's Norton, Birmingham, in an area ADF at UK called a censorship zone. When police approached her after an onlooker complained she might be praying outside the abortion facility, God forbid. And that would just be terrible if somebody were to pray. I mean, that's terrible. Birmingham's authorities established a buffer zone around abortion clinics, which makes it illegal for an individual to engage in any act or attempted act of approval or disapproval as it relates to abortion, and includes verbal or written means like praying or counseling. So it is now approval or disapproval to stand there, to literally stand there. Vaughn Spruce says, I was exercising my freedom of thought, my freedom of religion, inside the privacy of my own mind. Nobody should be criminalized for thinking and for praying in a public space in the UK. She says, this is something I've pretty much done every week for around the last 20 years of my life. I pray for my friends who've experienced abortion, for the women who are thinking about going through with it themselves. Vaughn Spruce has stood near the abortion facility while it was closed 3 times and said she might have been praying. According to the ADF UK, police showed her photos of herself standing outside the facility and asked if she was praying, which she said she could not answer since she spent some time praying but got distracted at other times. Not praying the whole time. I mean, this sort of stuff, again, if you believe that the social fabric of the United States is going to withstand the secular encroachments that essentially argue against the rights of religion and speech so long as they violate the tenets and belief system of the left, this is what you end up with in the UK. And so what you're seeing in the United States is increasingly a big sword, an ideological sword happening. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards.
Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is saying that Christmas is a time of goodwill and cheer, but also he doesn't really like religion all that much. Religion is declining in the United States, and this is a serious problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
NorCal Tractor Trailer Rentals and Sales enjoy giving back and supporting our community. That's why when they were asked to join the Hero Circle for Heroes of the North State Toys for Tots Toy Drive, it was an easy yes. The thought of helping to give to children in Shasta County this Christmas season and helping bring joy to their hearts has been a blessing to them all. NorCal Tractor, Trailer, and Rentals would like to thank the community for rising above and providing giggles and laughter this holiday season.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, around Christmas time, Hanukkah, it's holiday season. Well, at this time, it would be a good time to talk about whether religion is on the upswing or the downswing in the United States. Okay, so, The decline of religion in the United States is actually causing a greater rift in the United States. The promise was that as religion declined in the United States, that secularism would take over. There would be sort of a vast blob, and we would all be part of that vast blob together in which we got together under the auspices of government. Instead, what's happening is that people are fleeing the more secularized states, and they are moving to more religious states. Now, it also happens to be that a lot of those more religious states have broader economic protections, broader economic freedoms. This is one of the things that I think the left refuses to understand is, again, rights, particularly property rights, are very much connected to viable institutions that instill social trust. When you have a religious community, people are very respectful of other people's property rights, specifically because they know that their neighbor is not trying to screw them. According to Pluribus News, the United States added more than 1.2 million residents over the course of the past year as population growth rebounded from pandemic-era lows. That is an increase attributed almost entirely to international migrants coming to the country. So that is partially our open border. But the more important part of this study, aside from the fact that we aren't having kids and we're importing population, the more important part of the study is where exactly population is being gained. Population growth is not even across the states. Almost all of the top 10 states that added the most residents were in the South. Texas added 470,000 new residents. Florida added 416,000 people. North Carolina and Georgia both added more than 100,000 residents. Arizona added 94,000. South Carolina, Tennessee, Washington, Utah, Idaho all added tens of thousands of new residents. The only blue state is Washington. That is the only blue state. And it is important to mention that in Washington, eastern Washington is very heavily red. Rust Belt states continued a long trend of population declines. New York's population fell by 180,000. Illinois shed more than 100,000 people. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, Ohio all lost population as well. California has seen its population drop in recent years, too. The nation's largest state declined by 113,000 people last year. The number of people who moved out of California outpaced the number who moved in by a whopping 343,000 residents, according to the Census Bureau data. Nearly 300,000 New Yorkers moved out of the state over the last year alone. So when we're talking about, you know, how many people overall left, some people moved in, but way more people moved out. Texas has now joined California as the only two states with populations north of 30 million. Florida, which only recently passed New York to become the nation's third most populous state, has more than 2.5 million more residents than the Empire State. So it is not a shock. All of these states are populous. Meanwhile, all of the states, they are becoming blue as they become less populous. This makes perfect sense. A giant ideological sort is happening right now. And the states that are going to grow the fastest are the ones that provide for economic freedom. The states that are going to grow the fastest also happens to be, those also happen to be the states with the highest levels of religious adherence. This is not a coincidence. The left wishes you to believe that freedom is dependent on freedom from godliness, freedom from religion, freedom from community, freedom from institutions. The only freedom that is dependent on that is sexual libertinism. All the other freedoms are actually very much dependent on viable social institutions that hold together a society built on trust. And when those institutions disappear, what you end up with is a less trusting America. Now, the great irony of what's happening economically speaking right now in terms of, say, Sam Bankman-Fried, is that the entire basis of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency was supposed to be a trustless system. The idea was you don't need social institutions in order to trust the trustless system because, obviously, cryptocurrencies are reliant on the blockchain. The blockchain is all about verifiability and being able to track money through various mechanisms and being able to verify that certain transactions have taken place and that the money that is in your specific wallet is yours and all the rest. But people have a tendency always to rely on trust even when they should not. And that's how Sam Bankman-Fried took advantage of the situation. Yesterday, he was released on a $250 million bond with restrictions. Now, was he really released on a $250 million bond? The answer is no. Nobody put up $250 million in collateral so Sam Bankman-Fried could walk around free. That's not exactly what happened here. Basically, the government pretended that they had set the bond that high in order so they could say that we're taking this super seriously. In reality, his parents basically put up his house, their house, as collateral. But the likelihood is that Bankman-Fried is going to spend an awful long time in prison. His release also followed an announcement by Damian Williams, the U.S. Attorney for Southern District of New York, on Wednesday night that two former executives of Bankman-Fried's businesses, Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang, had pled guilty to federal fraud charges and were cooperating with prosecutors. Those charges against the executives are likely to further complicate Bankman-Fried's defense. The criminal investigation into FTX and its related entities have moved with startling speed. In under 2 months, FTX went from a flourishing exchange to a bankrupt entity whose executives are facing criminal charges for some of the financial world's most serious violations. Prosecutors have said that Bankman-Fried's crimes led to the implosion of his exchange and billions in customer losses. So, and again, this is what happens. Even a trustless system, it turns out, people tend to want to trust people. They do want to trust people. And when you have a system in the United States, more broadly speaking in the West, that undermines fundamental bases of trust because we don't have the same values anymore. And what is supposed to replace it is kind of niceness and civility as opposed to common standards of behavior and common goals. What you end up with is an ersatz social fabric that is about as comfortable as nylon. It is not going to wear well. And that's what's happening in the United States writ large in terms of our civil society. So people are forming new civil societies, but they're doing so on the state level. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Mall of America on lockdown earlier this evening following reports of a shooting. It has now reopened. Police say that one person was killed, two people were shot. No other information was available. Winter weather is blanketing the U.S. as a massive storm sends temperatures crashing and creates whiteout conditions. Bob Agnew reports.
More than 200 million people, about 60% of the U.S. population, were under some form of winter weather advisory or warning as of Friday. The National Weather Service says its warning map, quote, depicts one of the greatest extents of winter weather warnings and advisories ever. More than 4,100 flights within, into, or out of the U.S. were canceled Friday. Power outages left more than 1.4 million homes and businesses in the dark. Bob Agnew reporting.
Lawmakers ignore inflation as they ram through a $1.7 trillion spending bonanza. The bill includes handouts to special interest groups, money to build a border wall overseas, but nothing to secure the United States from illegal immigration. That bill now heads to President Biden's desk for his signature. The flu is beginning to wane in many areas of the country after a brutal start to the season.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says hospital admissions fell for the second week in a row, and the percentage of doctor's office visits due to fever and other flu-like symptoms has dropped for 3 weeks in a row. Officials say they have seen some decline in most parts of the country, but the flu is still spreading. CDC data indicate flu activity last week was high or very high in 45 states. The CDC estimates there have been at least 190,000 hospitalizations and 12,000 deaths from the flu so far this season. I'm Mike Hempen.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. My motto is, if it doesn't make sense, I don't accept it. If you look up the 5,000 reviews on my Rational Bible volumes, you will see how many lives I have changed. Whether you are a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, or a member of some other religion, it doesn't matter. This speaks to your mind and your heart in explaining the most important books ever written, the Rational Bible. The latest is Deuteronomy, the most quoted book of the nation's founders. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. All Rational Bibles sold in the Prager Store are autographed by me. Go to PragerStore.com. That's PragerStore.com, or click the banner on my website.
Microsoft is headed for a battle with the Federal Trade Commission over whether the U.S. will block the tech giant's planned takeover of video game company Activision Blizzard.
Microsoft has filed a formal response to the FTC's lawsuit declaring the $68.7 billion deal an illegal acquisition that should be stopped. For years, Microsoft has avoided the political backlash that's been directed at its big tech peers, Amazon, Google, and Meta. But the software giant now appears to be on a collision course with U.S. regulators, emboldened by President Biden's push to get tough on anti-competitive behavior.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A judge kept secret that two of Sam Bankman-Fried's executive associates were cooperating with investigators so that the cryptocurrency entrepreneur would not get spooked and fight extradition from the Bahamas to the United States. He's been released on bail. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Florida Supreme Court will convene a grand jury to investigate any possible wrongdoing involving COVID-19 vaccines.
The move comes in response to a request from Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who said last month,
in Florida, you know, it is against the law to mislead and to misrepresent, particularly when you're talking about the efficacy of a drug.
And he suggested a grand jury could jog loose more information from pharmaceutical companies about the vaccines and potential side effects.
We also need ways to get more data so that we can better evaluate what actually happened.
Studies funded by the pharmaceutical companies that developed COVID-19 vaccines have been published in peer-reviewed journals. I'm Ben Thomas.
Studies were done before the vaccine was released. Samsung recalling over 600,000 washing machine units that can short-circuit and overheat. They were sold between June 2021 and December 2022. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. The Democrats are continuing to push forward the January 6th propaganda campaign. Again, I say it's a propaganda campaign because we all know what happened on January 6th. This was obvious from literally the day that it happened. What happened on January 6th is that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, between November 4th and January 6th, said a lot of untrue things about how the election was stolen. A lot of people took those untrue things very seriously. There was a congressional challenge mounted by some in the House and some in the Senate to, quote unquote, verify elections in the various states. The election was certified in December by all of those states. And so there was no legal mechanism that was now available. But some people wrongly thought that if they went to the Capitol building and engaged in acts of rioting, that this would somehow stop the certification of the election, the formal certification at the federal level by the vice president of the United States, who's literally just there to count the votes. This failed. The people who invaded the Capitol were arrested. They went to jail. That's what happened on January 6th. But that's not enough. Now we're going to talk about this endlessly because, of course, Democrats need something to run on given their own incompetence. And so now the House has released its full January 6th Select Committee report. Ooh, it's historic. So historic. Ooh, it's an 800-page report. They're supposed to release it earlier this week, but because Vladimir Zelensky from Ukraine came in, they didn't want that to get them. They didn't want their report to essentially be stamped out in the public coverage. According to the Wall Street Journal, earlier this week, the committee, made up of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans critical of Trump, released an executive summary of its report, which included findings. He disseminated false allegations of fraud related to the 2020 election, provoking supporters to violence and an attack on the Capitol. Now, again, as I've said before, Trump is responsible for raising the temperature and saying false things. But when people go and do acts of violence after he goes in a speech and says peacefully protest, that does not amount to incitement by any legal standard. Despite knowing he had lost dozens of election lawsuits, Trump refused to accept that his opponent Joe Biden won the election and plotted to overturn the election outcome, according to the committee. The final report was released late on Thursday. It was released 3 days after the 9-member panel voted at the final meeting to refer the former president to the Justice Department for potential criminal charges. The report begins with a chapter called The Big Lie, a reference to Trump's false claim the election was stolen. Again, I do object to the idea that the language The Big Lie has been used to apply here, when the reality is The Big Lie was originally supposed to be about Hitler blaming the Jews for all the problems in Germany before genociding them. I do not find those lies to be on equal par. In any case, House Republicans have regularly criticized the committee and its work as partisan, correct? So what exactly is in the January 6th report? Well, they recommend that Congress ban Trump from office, which obviously is not going to happen. They proposed a reform to the Electoral Count Act to clarify that a vice president has no authority to reject electoral slates submitted by the states, which, by the way, did get included in the omnibus package that just passed the Senate. They want wholesale expansion of federal law enforcement agencies' scrutiny of extremist groups, including white nationalists and violent anti-government groups. The boundaries that they wish to draw around that probably do not withstand the scrutiny of the First Amendment. Designation of the counting of electoral votes by Congress every 4 years is a national special security event, like inaugurals in the State of the Union address. Now, again, they had to come up with some sort of legislative kind of bow on this thing, because the whole purpose of the committee, whenever you have an investigative committee, it is there to essentially perform two functions, one of two functions. One is oversight of things that the government has already done, and two is to prepare for further legislation. This committee was designed to do neither of those things. It wasn't oversight of what the government had already done. We already knew that. It was designed specifically in order to raise the public issue over and over and over, and then make heroes out of the people who are on the committee. That's what the committee was there to do. They had to try to create some sort of legislative solution to all of this. The actual answer, the legislative solution, is put more police officers on the ground of the Capitol building, you idiots, which is what should have happened in the first place. The panel chairman, Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi, said our country has come too far to allow a defeated president to turn himself into a successful tyrant by upending our democratic institutions, fomenting violence, and, as I saw it, opening the door to those in our country whose hatred and bigotry threaten equality and justice for all Americans. And it's that last part that Democrats are counting on. What they're counting on is the idea that January 6th is a stand-in for hundreds of millions of at least tens of millions of Americans who voted for Trump. This was always the game. It's a very, very tiresome game in which we just label everybody who rioted equivalent to everybody who showed up at the protest, equivalent to everybody who voted for Trump, equivalent to everybody who does not like Joe Biden. They're all the same. Adam Schiff is making that clear, the least truthful member of Congress, Adam Schiff, a deeply corrupt member of Congress who has spent the last several years declaring that he had bona fide proof that Donald Trump was a Russian asset, which of course turned out not to be true. Now he has an opinion piece over at the New York Times on the release of this January 6th committee, declaring that it's not just about Trump, it's about members of Congress. It's very obvious what the political motive here is. A little bit more on this in just a moment. First, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
So, he has a piece in which he says, on December 27th, 2020, more than 6 weeks after losing re-election, an infuriated President Donald Trump telephoned his acting Attorney General, Jeffrey Rosen. Mr. Trump's former Attorney General, Bill Barr, had announced his resignation less than 2 weeks earlier after telling the president that the claims of election fraud Trump had been trumpeting were, as Barr later bluntly put it in testimony, BS, and publicly affirming there was no fraud on a scale that would affect the outcome of the election. With Rosen's deputy, Richard Donahue, also on the line, Trump launched into the same tired, disproven, discredited allegations he had often propagated at rallies. None of it was true, Donahue told him so. According to Donahue, Trump, exasperated that his own handpicked top appointees at the DOJ would not affirm his baseless allegations, responded, quote, just say that the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressmen. It was a remarkable statement, said Schiff, even for a president who had serially abused the powers of his office. Having been told by the very department that had investigated his claims that they were untrue, Trump told the acting AG and his deputy to lie about it and said he would take it from there. Now, again, I think that that is a dramatic misread of Trump. Trump believes a thing. Evidence does not matter to President Trump. Once he believes a thing, that is the thing that he believes. End of story. But Schiff isn't really angry at Trump. What Schiff wants is for you to yell at the congressional Republicans. He says one line of effort to overturn the election is given scant attention, and that involved the willingness of so many members of Congress to vote to overturn it. Even after the Capitol Police and Metro Police put down the insurrection at great cost to themselves, the majority of Republicans in the House picked up right where they left off, still voting to overturn the results in important states. At one of our January 6th committee hearings, the committee vice chair, Liz Cheney, a Republican, called out her colleagues in Congress for their duplicity in the most searing terms. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain. So again, we have Adam Schiff lecturing us on dishonor in Congress, which is always fun. Between him, Eric Swalwell, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, there are plenty of scurrilous people in Congress. But again, the goal here is to label everybody to Adam Schiff's right as complicit in January 6th, even people who are not actually complicit in January 6th. Is that going to work long term? I mean, it'll work so long as the Republican Party keeps centralizing around these themes. That's obviously what happened in 2022. In 2022, you had a bunch of candidates who kept echoing these themes, and it was a complete fail. It reminded Americans that these people were not serious, and that is a problem. Again, you can do this sort of stuff. You can be you can say wild things as the truth in American politics. The one thing that you cannot do is undermine your own credibility in being capable of governing. If you do that, then people tend to not like it very much. And that was the story of 2022. Democrats are going to keep underscoring that, and Republicans can either learn the lesson or they can continue getting shellacked over and over and over. And so this means that, as I let off the show with, Republicans in the Congress are going to have to be pretty coherent in how they approach governance. I have great fears that they will not be, considering their prior record. Meanwhile, in terms of the January 6th testimony, the January 6th Select Committee is trotting out transcripts of oral testimony from former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, you'll remember that she is most famous for suggesting that Donald Trump was in the backseat of the beast during the January 6th riots, and that he actually wanted the Secret Service agents to drive him to the front of the riots, and that he tried to throttle the Secret Service driver with his bare hands, which is an absurdity. It's just ridiculous. Okay, well, now, apparently, they're trotting out testimony in which she says that people in Trump's orbit urged her to protect Trump in her testimony before the committee. In testimony given in September and released by the committee on Thursday, Hutchinson recounted what she viewed as a wide-ranging campaign by individuals close to Trump to pressure her to provide misleading testimony to the January 6th committee. There were people in Trump world who were more than a little worried about me being more forthcoming with the committee because of the access and insight I had into what was happening throughout these months. After receiving a subpoena to testify before the committee, Hutchinson said she reached out to former colleagues in Trump White House and others connected to the former president for assistance in obtaining an attorney. She said she didn't have money to pay for an attorney at the time. And so she met with a couple of people who were associated with Donald Trump. That included a couple of lawyers who were close to Donald Trump, one named Stefan Passantino. She said she met with Passantino in early 2022, quote, "We have you taken care of," he told her by phone February 7th. That was the first alarm bell that went off in my head. What? I mean, you called him for help. She said she asked Passantino who was paying him. "We're not telling people where the funding is coming from right now," he replied, according to Hutchinson. Well, then don't hire him. I mean, that's like, what? I mean, unless you can show that he was being paid by Trump to help you essentially lie, which would actually be obstruction of justice because you're now suborning perjury, then you got nothing here. At a meeting on February 16th, Passantino said he would downplay her role in the White House of the committee. "You were a secretary. You had an administrative role. Everyone's on the same page about this." She testified she became worried Passantino was being paid by individuals connected to Trump and told the committee she worried when a person becomes involved in Trump's orbit financially, there's sort of no turning back. Hutchinson testified in a conversation with Passantino. She revealed she knew about that confrontation in the presidential limousine. "No, no, no, no," Passantino replied, according to Hutchinson. "We don't want to go there. The less the committee thinks you know, the better." In a statement, Passantino said, "I represented Hutchinson honorably, ethically, and fully consistent with her sole interests as she communicated them to me. I believed Hutchinson was being truthful and cooperative with the committee throughout several interview sessions in which I represented her." She testified, by the way, that Passantino never told her to lie. He said telling the committee, "I don't recall," wasn't perjury. The less you remember, the better. Okay, now, again, that is not suborning perjury. That is pretty much what any lawyer tells you when you testify. The less you tell a committee, or the less you tell the police, let's take a criminal case. You're a defense lawyer. You go in, your client's in the room with the cops, and they call you in for questioning. The first thing you tell your client is, "Shut up." And you can also say, again, "I don't recall" is a very common response. Anthony Fauci says, "I don't recall" like 500 times in his testimony. Does that mean that whoever his lawyer was suborning perjury? Pretty broad standard here. But again, the idea here is to continue to keep this in the headlines. So just because the January 6th committee has come to a close doesn't mean that there won't be an attempt by the media to keep this in the headlines, or by members of the January 6th committee to continue making their bones off of it. I'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, this holiday season, give yourself the gift of privacy with ExpressVPN. Guess what? Private mode doesn't keep your activity private. Your internet provider like AT&T or Verizon can see all the websites you've clicked on. They even know how much time you've spent on each of them, and they've likely sold it to advertisers. But with ExpressVPN, all of your traffic gets rerouted through an encrypted server, so all your browsing activity stays private. ExpressVPN's app works on all your devices, so whether you're on your phone, tablet, laptop, whatever, you are protected. Best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button to turn it on, you are instantly protected. Don't forget to give yourself the gift of privacy this year with the number one rated VPN. I run an internet company. It's nobody's business what I do online, particularly not the government and particularly not big tech companies who probably hate my guts and hate my company. This is why I use ExpressVPN. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get 3 extra months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Protect your privacy the way that I do, the way that all of us do here at Daily Wire. Go to ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro and protect your privacy today. Alrighty, coming up, we got to get to the dumbest story of the day. Apparently, a lot of people are mad at Avatar, not because it's not a good movie, but because it offends Native Americans or something. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Ring in the new year at Turtle Bay's New Year's Eve party at the Red Ian Garden of Lights, Saturday, December 31st, 8 p.m. to midnight. This 21 and older event features 1 million lights, 2 stages of live music and entertainment, food and drinks by Mosaic Restaurant, and much more. Presented by Red Ian Heating and Air, all proceeds support the ongoing education programs, exhibits, and animals at Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay's New Year's Eve at Red Ian Garden of Lights, Saturday, December 31st. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
By Save the Children.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you can always find the professionally offended class getting mad at something. Today it's Avatar. So let it be known, I'm not an Avatar fan. I think that Avatar is a wildly overrated movie. Blue Pocahontas or Fern Gully 3D was not my favorite movie. It is good to look at, and it is incredibly stupid. Well, now apparently people are angry at Avatar, not because it's a dumb movie. They're angry at Avatar because it offends indigenous sensibilities. Well, first of all, I wasn't aware that there are 11-foot-tall blue indigenous people on the Earth. So I'm not sure exactly what indigenous sensibilities are being offended right here. Are there members of the Pandoran community who are deeply offended by their depiction in Avatar? It is literally a sci-fi movie about another planet far, far away involving 11-foot blue people who can be inhabited by the spirits of others and who apparently ride their horses in the same way that they have sex. It's a very, very weird movie. And think about it. If you actually watch the movie, that's actually what happens. They, like, plug into their horse to ride their horse the same way that they plug into one another to have sexual relations, which raises some very odd questions about the relations between the Pandoran population and their animal population. In any case, the Washington Post has an entire piece about this. Quote, "The release of Avatar, The Way of Water, has put the series creator in hot water yet again, as indigenous people criticize what they call the movie's glamorization of colonialism and racist depiction of native people and culture. When the original Avatar came out in 2009, the science fiction fantasy's robust 3D effects and stunning visuals drove it to become the highest-grossing film of all time. But indigenous critics say the problematic pitfalls of the first Avatar movie reappear in the sequel, namely in its portrayal of the Na'vi, the movie's alien species inspired by several Native American tribes around the world. The Oceanic Na'vi clan, that's central to the second film, was heavily influenced by the Maori, the indigenous Polynesian people of New Zealand. Cheney Poole, 27, from Christchurch, New Zealand, known as Atautahi Aotearoa in the Maori language, forgive me my mispronunciation, calls the film's portrayal, quote, just another example of the very same upfront and apparent romanticization of colonialization, of colonization. It very much romanticizes the idea of what not only Maori are going through, but many indigenous cultures around the world, and almost downplays the suffering, both from the past and the present. What in the, what? First of all, I never heard of this person, and I guess this person is happy they get to be in the Washington Post, but you're offended by a movie about 11-foot-tall blue natives on a planet called Pandora, where the chief resource is idiotically called unobtainium, because it's unobtainable. Unobtainium. Again, this is one of the dumbest movies ever produced. The people who have been victimized historically are always right. It's not up to me, speaking from perspective of white privilege, if you will, to tell them that they're wrong, said James Cameron. Wait, hold up. People who have been victimized historically are always right? Always? Forever? Like on everything? I feel like it's a dumb standard by James Cameron, but then again, his movies outside of T2 are pretty dumb. The plot of the first movie, in which white human outsider Jake Sully infiltrates the Na'vi to save them from a corporation trying to exploit environmental resources from their land of Ferngully, sorry, Pandora, raised concern from indigenous groups. Cameron told Unilad he believes the new movie was able to sidestep that white savior motif. Lilatol Fitria, who researches decoloniality as an assistant professor at Claremont School of Theology. Man, we have way too many professional pseudo-academics. And we have an entire department researching decoloniality at Claremont School of Theology. Man, professional useless people. Said she had no interest in watching the sequel after she recently watched the first movie for the first time. Fitria said she was appalled that Jake became a Na'vi in that film, playing into what she called a colonialist trope that a foreigner can easily go native by looking the part and learning what's implied to be a primitive culture. So she also, dances with wolves, blue dances with wolves, is very upsetting to this rando. The second movie was not much better, thought Manateen, a 19-year-old from Queensland, Australia, who is Maori. In it, Jake is now a Na'vi clan leader. And Tyne was offended by how the film reduces tamoko, a type of tattoo that is culturally significant and readable for Maori people, to abstract, meaningless shapes that serve more as an aesthetic on the characters' faces and bodies. Wait, so hold up. You're mad if they put the Maori tattoos that look like Maori tattoos on the characters in the movie. If they were actually to read like Maori tattoos, then it would make them more like the Maori, which would be more insulting. But also, if they don't quite look like that, then they're more insulting because they're not that. I feel like unfalsifiability is a thing with some of these folks. Tyne said, I'd love to see more Maori people and culture represented on screen, but I want to see Maori people playing them. Why do you want to see Maori people playing giant 11-foot-tall blue people? I don't want to have to sacrifice the significance of our practices that have already lost so much through colonialism. It's so tiresome. Autumn Asher Blackdear, an assistant professor in the Graduate School of Social Work at the University of Denver. Again, why are we should not relieve student loan debt, not one iota. If you go to the University of Denver to major in the Graduate School of Social Work. Autumn Asher Blackdear said the Avatar movies also add to the monolithic portrayal of native people commonly used in media. The Na'vi are mystical and solemn noble savages, she said, with stereotypically angular cheekbones and long hair and braids. They also have physical characteristic Blackdear's tribe, Southern Cheyenne, is known for, pronounced noses. This sounds kind of racist, like the only people who have pronounced noses are Southern Cheyenne or something. As a member of a historically persecuted people who are stereotypically told they have large noses, no. She said that because the movies draw from multiple indigenous tribes, it can imply all native people are the same. So if you're too specific, you're making fun of one native tribe. If you're broad enough that you encompass many native tribes, then you're too general, and the professional offended are a class in the United States. They really are, and they're unbelievably tiresome. Again, I'm not standing for Avatar. It looks really stupid. I haven't seen the sequel yet, because frankly, I don't have 9 hours of my life to spare for that yet. But, like, We're going to pretend that we're all deeply offended by this? Seriously? Hey, so, I do have one piece of good news. So the New York Times has an article called Quiz. You can't say that, or can you? And it asks people to, like, a survey on whether they would say the following words. And it turns out that most people are relatively sane in the United States, even many New York Times readers. So only 16% of 10% of people said they would use the term chest feeding, which is good. Only 10% of people. Only 10% to only 22% of people said they would use the term Latinx. And only 30% of people said they would use the term BIPOC. 34% of people said they would use the term birthing parents. That one is starting to infuse the culture. However, some 86% of Americans who are surveyed by the New York Times say they would use the term pregnant women. And 85% said they would use the term breastfeeding. And 84% said they would use the term master bedroom. So perhaps the woke linguistic crowd has not completely taken over as of yet. Already coming up, we'll be joined by Dr. Robert Malone. You remember him from Joe Rogan, and then he was banned from virtually all social media. He has a brand new book out. We're going to discuss the vaccines for COVID, their efficacy, and what we were lied to about. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Reading Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Reading. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet, bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. and there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Hello friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge, this is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan Puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
7-0.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Dr. Robert Malone. You know him, of course, from the major controversy that engulfed him when he appeared on Joe Rogan's show and then was promptly censored by YouTube. The censorship of Dr. Malone during the course of the entire pandemic is one of the big stories of the pandemic, considering that he was largely right on the risks of the COVID vaccine, particularly to the young and healthy. Dr. Malone, thanks so much for joining the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me on. This is our first, I think.
And it definitely is. So let's talk for a second. You have a brand new book out called Lies My Government Told Me and the Better Future Coming. I want to get to the story of censorship. But first, why don't we sort of go through the risks and possible rewards of the vaccine? Is there any good use of the mRNA vaccines that have been used, particularly with regard to, say, the very elderly and the people who are very vulnerable because they have diabetes? Or is the contention that you're making that basically it'd been better if nobody ever used the vaccines?
Unfortunately, the data are now showing, the data that I've reviewed and that many of my colleagues have reviewed from all over the world, are now showing that as you move into those higher risk groups like the elderly, the risks of the adverse events from the vaccines go up, as does the risk from the virus. So you're left with this problem of stratifying risk, which for some reason our government refuses to do. And when you make those ratio calculations, which the FDA and CDC have always done in the past, but for some reason refuse to do now, when you do those calculations and you have the data to assess risk in a stratified fashion and assess potential benefits in a stratified fashion, it's very hard to make the case that there is merit in any age cohort for either the mRNA or the adenovirus vectored products. Let's keep in mind that there's two categories of gene therapy-based vaccines currently on the market. Both express the spike protein. So the group that I represent, 17,000 physicians and medical scientists from all over the world, the Global COVID Summit Group, came out with a statement last spring that based on the data, our assessment was that there was no merit for using these products in any age cohort, particularly in the face of the ability of physicians to treat early and drastically reduce the risk. So if you factor in the stratified risk of the vaccine products, the stratified risk of the virus as it exists right now, and the availability of early treatment, you really can't make a case based on the data for employing these products for anyone. Now, that you asked a more complicated question in a sense, should they have ever been used? And that gets into assessing the data having to do with risk and benefit from the earlier variants that were circulating that were absolutely more pathogenic. And unfortunately, those data are difficult to sort through. There's a variety of forms of bias, including over-reporting bias of the risks of the virus, something I spoke about on Rogan It's almost a year ago now. And so I kind of park those issues of what could have been and what should have been done in the earlier waves, because the data aren't really available to make a clear statement. And furthermore, it's irrelevant. We live in the present, not in the past. And there were mistakes made, I think we can all agree, in the management of this. We could talk about masks, the lockdowns, 14 days to flatten the curve, a whole bunch of things. But from where I stand, that's all history. What matters is, going forward, how do we manage ourselves? How do we manage our health? As physicians, how do we advise our patients? As a public health enterprise in the United States, how should we be managing our messaging relating to this COVID crisis, which many of us have come to believe in the current situation is not a crisis. It is not a public health crisis, and that public health emergency declaration should be withdrawn or suspended.
We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, you need a better night's sleep. We all need a better night's sleep, and this means we need a mattress made just for us. I have one. It's called Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. So how are you going to know which Helix mattress works best for you? Well, they have this quick quiz. This Helix Sleep quiz takes 2 minutes, and it'll give you precisely the mattress you need. Their personalized mattress is then shipped directly to your door free of charge, and Helix knows there's no better way to test out that mattress than by actually sleeping on it, which is why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. Try out your new Helix mattress and see how your body adjusts. If you decide it's not the best fit, you are welcome to return it for a full refund. Everybody is unique. Everybody sleeps differently. So why would you get a mattress made for somebody else? Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. It's their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. With Helix, better sleep starts right now. Again, helixsleep.com/Ben. Get up to $350 off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows when you order today. So, Dr. Malone, just to sort of hover on the question of the efficacy of the vaccines for, as I say, the elderly, because that seems to be the cohort where there's the most controversy. It seems that pretty much everybody, you know, I would say, who has any doubts about the CDC or the FDA now accept that there's no real rationale if you're 35, healthy, and exercising for you to get the vaccines.
Because let alone a six-month child.
Right. Certainly not children. I mean, even people like me who are very strongly pro-vaccine for the elderly, when it came to my own kids, first of all, I never was in favor of mandates at any point during this entire process. And certainly when it came to my own kids, I was certainly not going to allow my own kids to be vaccinated, considering that the risks of the disease for the very young are almost non-existent, statistically speaking. When it comes to, I'm a layperson, obviously. I'm not in the same I have nowhere near the same level of expertise you do. There are other people, who do kind of focus in your area, people ranging from Mary McCarry at Johns Hopkins, who is sort of one of my go-tos during the pandemic, to Martin Kulldorff, to Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, members of the Great Barrington Declaration.
And I have great respect for Martin and Jay.
Right. And so they were, they continue to be pro-vaccine for people who are older and who have significant vulnerabilities. To what do you attribute the sort of disagreement that you have with them? And how's a layperson supposed to sort of decide who to listen to on these sorts of issues when we don't have the expertise and we're always going to have to defer to some expert or another?
Actually, I would take issue with that latter statement. I think we all have personal agency, except for those that are mentally compromised. And I think that I come down very firmly on the same place that you do, that we should not have mandates and we should not have coercion in the form of government propaganda and other surreptitious marketing strategies to entice people or coerce people or mandate people to take what's still really an experimental medical product. In the case of the elderly, I have to be guided all the way through based on the data. And unfortunately, what we have learned even from the New York Times last February, is that the CDC has been withholding data from the entire medical community and the public all the way through here. And based on the New York Times article and reporting, in addition to the recent reports from a few months ago, internal reports on the CDC has become politicized. It is a political arm of the White House, and it functions as such. It no longer is functioning as an objective reporter and analyst of epidemiologic and other medical information. So we're left in an environment in which the data coming out of the states is compromised in a variety of different ways. The risk benefit, as I was saying, in the elderly does not appear to be there anymore, particularly in the face of the ability to administer a variety of early treatments, which have been demonstrated to save lives. Now, that's not to say that all elderly will be protected and will come through this if they receive a more severe infection or they are significantly compromised. And this gets into the nuance that you're kind of touching on. We're out to the fringes now of the risk benefit. And there may well be individuals who are in the midst of chemotherapy, who have compromised immune systems, or elderly who have a history of pneumonia or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. I think that that's a risk-benefit call that should be made together with a physician on a person-by-person basis. But on average, it's useful to remember that the average age of death from COVID exceeds the average age of death. Okay, so it's long been the case, and there's a clinical saw about this. Pneumonia is the old man's friend. When we get to a certain stage of our life, we become particularly susceptible to respiratory diseases, and pneumonia in particular. And that is, you know, we all will die. And I'm not in any way endorsing the agendas that we're hearing coming out of Canada and some other places that are backing state-assisted euthanasia for a variety of indications. I strongly object to that. That is absolutely a slippery slope. But in the case of high-risk elderly with COVID, they do have increased risk of adverse events with these medical products. And that makes for a very complicated landscape.
Well, that is Dr. Robert Malone. Check out his brand new book, Lies My Government Told Me and The Better Future Coming. Dr. Malone, thanks for speaking out and thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate the information and the insight.
Thanks, Ben.
We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, with the holidays coming around the corner, many of us are going to be traveling to see family and loved ones. You might find yourself away from home more often than not. That's why I've decided to team up with Ring. With Ring security products, you can rest easy knowing your home and family are safe when you are not there. That Ring doorbell, it'll notify you when guests or packages arrive. Ring's indoor cameras let you keep an eye on kids and pets while you're away. Ring alarm will alert you of any motion detection while the house is empty. Plus, if you add smart lighting around your home, you can turn lights on or off while you're away. Ring's home security products don't just help keep your home and family safe. They make perfect gifts for everybody on your list. I've been relying on Ring to keep my family and my home safe for literally years at this point. And since I have security concerns, that means an awful lot. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers. Find out how you can live a little more stress-free this season with a Ring product that is right for you. That's ring.com/collections/offers. Go check them out right now. There are plenty of ways you can make your home safer and more secure and feel more secure about your home when you're not there. Ring helps you do it. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers to get started today. Again, that's ring.com/collections/offers. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by new RNC candidate Harmeet Dhillon. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Ridding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Ridding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Save room for a wish this month at Black Bear Diner, where they've partnered with Make-A-Wish to help grant life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses in our community. They are donating $1 from the purchase of every delicious slice of red velvet cake, candy cane chocolate cream pie, and peppermint cheesecake now through the end of the month. Get on over to Black Bear Diner because wishes need stars like you. Open daily, including Christmas Eve and Day. 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey, music lovers, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium, wishing you and yours a holiday that's merry and bright. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. We have something for everyone on your list with huge concert announcements coming soon. Stuff that stocking with the gift of experience. Shows are always more fun at the Civic. Visit ReadingCivic.com today.
.gov.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Harmeet Dhillon. She is a candidate for the head of RNC, nationally recognized lawyer, founder of the Center for American Liberty, which committed to defending the civil rights of all Americans. Full disclosure, Harmeet Dhillon also happens to be one of the lawyers who is working with us in our attempt to fight back the OSHA vax mandate from the Biden administration. Harmeet, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben.
So, Harmeet, you've decided now to throw your hat in the ring for head of the RNC against Ronna Romney McDaniel. I've said from very early after the election that you don't get to lose three consecutive election cycles and keep your job. I mean, this is a very simple calculus here. If you lose in 2018, you lose in 2020, actually you lose in 2021 and 2022, so four consecutive elections. At that point, you have to start looking at other alternatives. So you've decided that you want to provide that other alternative. Number one, is it realistic to think, because there have been a lot of questions raised, is it realistic to think that you could actually oust Ronna McDaniel given her support inside the RNC, and how does that process actually work?
Well, thanks, Ben. And absolutely, it's possible. We still have more than 4 weeks to go before the election, which is January 27th in Dana Point, California. And during that time, and the last time we had a contested leadership race in the RNC was 12 years ago, but there were several rounds of voting, a lot of horse trading. You know, Mike Lindell has entered the race as well, so he's making phone calls and trying to get support. So the process goes as follows. We have 168 voting members. There are 50 states and six territories, and they vote at the meeting, so we have to get a majority to be the new leader of the RNC. And there will be successive rounds of voting until somebody gets that majority, so 85 plus. Since I announced less than 3 weeks ago, I've already received a tremendous outpouring of support, not just from the voters in America who are Republican, donors, United States members of Congress, senators, but members of the RNC, some who asked me to run and many who joined my campaign because of concerns about the current leader's tenure. And so this is very much doable. It's a horse race, and we are working to convert and talk to each member, see what their concerns are, and see if I'm the better candidate to address those concerns.
So, Harmeet, looking at how Ronna McDaniel has run the RNC, what are some of your chief critiques of the RNC? It's easy for me to, from the outside, to say that they're doing a bad job because the results, the proof is in the pudding. What are some of the specific things that the RNC should have been doing better over the course of the last several years and that they've blown the opportunity to do?
Well, I want to start by saying, to be very fair, you know, Ronna is one of many players in Republican politics. And so the RNC has a specific role. She's the leader of the organization. And I think in the last 6 years, you know, of course, there are candidates who may or may not have made right choices, but overall, our party is supposed to provide the air cover and lay the groundwork for candidates to have the best chance of winning. Now, for almost 18 years, almost 20 years now, Democrats have been very highly organized and tightly focused on winning. The Democratic National Committee uses its funds that it raises to, you know, in a very organized fashion, make sure that their candidates have the best chances, and then outside groups pour in money into litigation and so forth. But we don't have that infrastructure. We really have mainly the RNC. The RNC over the years has really failed to be a leader in election integrity efforts, in my opinion. It's something that, as you know, the many things that we do at my law firm and in my work is something that I think is very important. Mark Elias, for example, has been very well funded by the left and has had free rein to file any number of lawsuits to challenge election laws throughout the United States without any answer for the most part. So I've been on the RNC for 6 years, about the same amount of time as Rana. And during that time, I've been agitating for this to happen. And we haven't been doing it at either the pace or the volume that needed to be done. Now, we are playing catch up now. But, you know, our RNC building just dismantled most of our election integrity team after the election as if they are seasonal workers who, you know, pick the crop and then they go home. It is a year-round effort on the left, and it has to be a year-round effort, investment, and really vision of the chair to make that happen, talk to donors who care about it, and really raise the funds so that that continues whoever is the chair. The RNC is a very top-down organization. In fact, you know, I just got an email from a member who's supporting Rana being very critical of my desire to involve grassroots. You know, one member told Politico, one of the members on the other side of this dispute, that it was a that leadership was selected in a papal enclave, smoke-filled backroom type place. I mean, that's not the image that our grassroots voters have been brought into the party over the last many years think about when they think about the RNC. They think about a body that's supposed to represent them, and that image is not there. And I'll add one more point, which is I think our messaging has not been very good over the last few years. We have not inspired our voters to turn out and support our candidates. Our messaging has been reactive. You can understand over the last couple of years, Democrats have set the agenda, but really, Democrats were setting the agenda throughout most of the Trump administration as well with their fake Russia collusion narrative and all the other things that they've been saying. And we have been reacting instead of as a party, not as a candidate, not as a president, not as any particular part of the party, clearly laying out why are we better than them? And it should be an easy message to deliver. Ben, you deliver it every day in your messaging, and so does Daily Wire. It is that we are the party of freedom, of liberty, of a better future, of individuals making their own decisions. The other side increasingly is showing that they're a party of, you know, nihilism and Marxism and destruction of the American family nuclear unit. This contrast could not be more clear, but our talking points that we pay millions of dollars to consultants to craft are muddled and unpersuasive. These are things that need to change at the next RNC.
So, Harmeet, if you take over the RNC, one of the big questions in the last election cycle and going forward is going to be whether Republicans actually not only challenge voter integrity issues, but also take advantage of the fact that in many of these states, the laws are not going to change. In California, ballot harvesting has been a thing, and Democrats flipped a bunch of seats in 2018, and then Republicans flipped them back in 2022, specifically because people didn't ignore the way that the law actually worked in Florida. Instead of trying to militate against, for example, mail-in voting or early voting, Ron DeSantis and the Florida Republican Party, they said, okay, well, that's the law, so let's just do it. And they did it, and they won. And so how much of your efforts are going to be focused on, yes, obviously fighting back against measures that violate election integrity, but also making sure that whatever measures are in place, Republicans actually take advantage of and play catch up where the Democrats have taken advantage?
You're absolutely right, Ben. So I'm in California, and in California we've had no excuse absentee balloting for over 30 years. And for most of those 30 years, Republicans outperformed Democrats in voting early, particularly a lot of older voters like to do that. It's convenient for people who have particular work schedules. We don't have the day off in America to vote. And so it was only in the last 2 years after the 2020 election cycle that our voters became quite, many of our voters and activists became quite upset about early voting and did not want to partake in it. But despite that, our party leadership here in California took advantage of ballot harvesting, early voting. I like to call it ballot chasing or claiming your vote early. And in Florida, they did the same. And in other states, they are getting hip to this as well. So there is a dispute in our party between grassroots activists who believe that voting early lets the other side know how many votes you have. I think in reality, the Democrats were able to elect virtually unelectable candidates like John Fetterman, like Katie Hobbs, exactly because they knew that no matter what the quality of the candidate was, they were going to get those votes in for Democrats. So we have learned to do that in the targeted areas in California. You're right. In 2018, we went from 14 in our delegation in California to 7. It was a wipeout. And today we're back at 12, even though we lost one congressional seat in California, thanks to our ability to harness and use those laws that we don't like, but that those are the rules of the game. Throughout the country, we need to do that. And as I tell grassroots leaders, our message needs to be, until we can elect a legislature and a governor who will sign on to the legislature's tightened up voting laws, we must beat the Democrats at their own game. There is no other choice. That will be the focus of my RNC if I'm the leader.
That is Harmeet Dhillon. She is running for RNC chair. And obviously, I'm a big fan of her. I'm a big fan of her run. So take a look at her campaign if you're a member of the RNC. Harmeet, really appreciate your time, and good for you for fighting the fight.
Thank you, Ben.
All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The House passes the massive $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill Friday afternoon, including $45 million for Ukraine. GOP Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett says the funding bill is a giant waste.
Y'all are railroading this $1.7 trillion bill full of garbage without any regard for what it's costing Americans. The truth is our constant flood of reckless, bloated spending bills has blown inflation rates right through the roof, and Americans are going to pay the price. And what are we spending Americans' hard-earned money on, you ask? Well, I'll tell you a little bit of it. Over $45 billion for Ukraine, when Europe should be carrying the burden of these costs. That's $100 billion total.
Passage of the bill represents a closing act for Nancy Pelosi's second stint as House Speaker. Republicans will take control of the House next year. Representative Kevin McCarthy is campaigning to replace her. A blast of Arctic air sweeping through much of the country. Ben Thomas reports it's hit Virginia, too.
In Virginia, steel gray skies that brought chilly, soaking rain have given way to bright blue. The occasional puff of cloud in the distance on an express route somewhere. It's still now, but wind gusts have plunged temperatures below freezing on their way to single digits. It's a scene much of the country's been feeling, with wind chill advisories affecting millions. In Falls Church, Virginia, I'm Ben Thomas.
The winter storm slamming the U.S. causes a 46-car pileup in Ohio. State patrols said the Friday incident took place on the Ohio Turnpike, closed it in both directions. Buses were being used to transfer people from the crash site to local hospitals. Reportedly, three people were killed. Many more were injured in that pileup. More on these stories at townhall.com.
And my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
A private Russian military company receives a shipment of weapons from North Korea.
U.S. officials have established that North Korea completed an arms shipment that included rockets and missiles for the Russian Wagner Group. although a private company, the Wagner Group is fighting alongside the Russian military in Ukraine. White House officials do not believe the shipment will make a big difference in battlefield dynamics in Ukraine. However, there is concern that North Korea will continue shipments to the Russian company. North Korea has flatly denied it has shipped munitions to Russia, calling the U.S. accusation of arms transfers to Russia a groundless theory. I'm Karen Chamas.
The $1.7 trillion funding package contains legislation that will force online marketplaces like Amazon and Facebook to verify high-volume sellers amid heightened concerns about retail theft. Brick-and-mortar retailers are worried about goods being stolen from their stores sold online. News and analysis at townhall.com. There's new data showing inflation may be slowing down. Correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
The Commerce Department says prices rose 5.5% in November from a year earlier. That's down from October's 6.1% increase. This consumer price report is a measure of inflation closely watched by the Federal Reserve, which is trying to ease inflation without sparking a recession. Despite a recent cooling, inflation still remains well above the 2% year-over-year growth the Fed wants to see. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Facebook's corporate parent agrees to pay $725 million to settle a lawsuit alleging the world's largest social media platform allowed millions of its users' personal info to be fed to Cambridge Analytica. Terms of the settlement reached by Meta Platforms, a holding company for Facebook and Instagram, were disclosed in court documents Thursday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2242 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, the Republican Party is absolutely incompetent. I mean, there's no other way to put this. What exactly has the Republican Party accomplished in the last, say, 4 years? The last time the Republican Party accomplished anything is when President Trump was president and Republicans had unified control of the House and the Senate. And since then, they've been absolutely incompetent at everything. So incompetent that the Republicans in the Senate distrust the Republicans in the House to the extent that they voted along with Democrats by a huge margin in order to advance a $1.7 trillion omnibus spending package, 4,155 pages long. And the question is, why exactly they would do this? Why would Mitch McConnell, as well as the other 17 Republicans who voted in favor of this thing in the Senate, why would they do that? I mean, because this is a pretty broad spectrum group of people who voted in favor of the omnibus spending package. It included people like McConnell, of course, but also it included Richard Shelby, Roy Blunt, John Boozman of Arkansas, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, John Cornyn, Tom Cotton voted in favor of it, Lindsey Graham, Jim Inhofe, Jerry Moran, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Mike Rounds, John Thune, Roger Wicker, and Todd Young. These are not all, quote-unquote, moderate Republicans. Some of these people are pretty conservative. Tom Cotton is a very conservative senator. Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma is a very conservative senator. They voted in favor of this omnibus package anyway. Now, Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be Speaker of the House. It is still not clear whether he actually has the votes to be Speaker of the House in the upcoming Congress. He had threatened, along with a bunch of other Republicans in the House, that if these senators voted in favor of the omnibus package, whatever their priorities were in the next Congress, the next Congress would not take up those priorities. Richard Shelby of Alabama, he said, he's focused on being Speaker. If I were in his shoes, that's what I would be focused on, trying to get enough votes. But I don't think that intimidates anybody. So what exactly happened here? Well, the answer from a political point of view is pretty obvious. The Republicans in the House are a fractious bunch. The majority that Republicans are going to have in the next Congress is extraordinarily slim. I mean, we are talking about single-digit majority in the next Congress. And because of that, that means that the Republican Party is going to have a very difficult time actually marshaling a majority on many of these votes. Republicans are slated to have 222 votes going into the next Congress. You require 218 for a majority, which means they have a slim four-seat margin. And if anybody is sick, inside the Republican caucus turns into a three-seat or a two-seat margin. When you're talking about a caucus of 222 people, there's a good shot that many of those people are not going to be there on an everyday basis. Some will be back home. Some will be sick. Some of them are going to just be drunk, a lot of drunks in Congress. Whatever the reason, that slim margin means that the most radical elements of your party are going to have control of the party unless you have very strong leadership. Now, one thing you can say for the Democrats is that they do have very strong leadership. Nancy Pelosi, as much as I dislike Nancy Pelosi, she threaded the needle with an extraordinarily slim Democratic majority. Now, she, of course, was working with a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate, so she had a lot of leverage to use. If it had been only a Democratic House, then it is unclear exactly whether she would have had the leverage that normally she'd be seeking. The Democratic Party also happens to be a lot more ideologically coherent than the Republican Party at this point. The Democratic Party has essentially nobody in it who is pro-life. The Democratic Party is fairly unified on economic matters. There's some divisions on foreign policy matters. But overall, the Democratic Party is left. The center left has basically gone away. It is left and then radical left. The Republican Party has a broad swath of people, ranging from, if you look in the Senate, people like Lisa Murkowski, all the way out to people like Ted Cruz. And what that means is very hard to cobble together a majority. If you look in the House, the same sort of thing applies. You have people in the Freedom Caucus, and then you have people who are kind of left-leaning Republicans from New York or from California. What that means is that there is no margin for error in the House. And if there is not a leader who is capable of actually whipping the votes, then the Republicans in the Senate are very much afraid that what you'll end up with is a government shutdown. And this is the thing Mitch McConnell fears more than anything else in life, is another one of these government shutdowns that ends with Joe Biden sitting there and laughing at the Republicans as he waits for their approval ratings to crater leading up to 2024. And so basically what happened here is that the Republicans in the Senate did not trust the leadership in the House enough to say that when you guys take the majority, we think that we can work with you in order to come up with a cohesive strategy. And at this point, McConnell doesn't even know who he's negotiating with. Again, this is not making an excuse for McConnell. This is explaining the logic behind what McConnell is doing. There is a logic. The answer to that logic is that McConnell, other members of the Senate, they should attempt to work with members of the Republican House in order to find a consensus candidate for Speaker if they don't think McCarthy can get the job done. Right now, they don't even know if they're negotiating with McCarthy because it is not clear, thanks to Matt Gaetz and some of the other sort of more right-wing Republicans in the House, some more of the sort of Trump MAGA Republicans in the House, many of them have said that they will not support, under any circumstances, McCarthy for Speaker. And remember, again, he has a four-seat majority, which means that if five of them say no, and all the Democrats say no, McCarthy ain't the Speaker. And we have this kind of bizarre spectacle right now of a bunch of Republicans in the House who have no plausible alternative for the Speaker of the House, saying they will not vote for McCarthy. And so McConnell doesn't even know who he's negotiating with in the House in order to craft a future strategy going into January. So the easy solution for McConnell was, we vote in favor of this omnibus. We assume that there will be no actual electoral blowback because, honestly, when was the last time there was electoral blowback to a Republican for spending too much? It just doesn't happen. It really doesn't. And the American people don't like spending all this money, and they tend to punish the party that spends the most money. But if both parties are spending the money, nobody gets punished. It's sort of a prisoner's dilemma. If you look at game theory, what game theory sort of suggests is that when you have a situation in which the second best option for both parties, not the first best option, the first best option is you win, they lose. The second best option is sort of the you both lose scenario is sort of the second best option in prisoner's dilemma. When both parties spend, then what you end up with is nobody loses. Essentially, both parties kind of lose, or the country loses, but neither party actually loses because there's nobody to hold accountable for the spending. We'll get to more on this in just one second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance. But the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius is a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. So McConnell and these other Republicans are voting in favor of this thing in order to take a government shutdown or a debt ceiling fight off the table for the next year because they don't even know who they're negotiating with in the House. Once again, lack of Republican leadership is an astonishing thing right now. It really is a problem. The Republican Party used to be a vehicle for victory, as I've talked about, because all parties are supposed to be a vehicle for victory. They're not supposed to be ideological tent poles. They are just repositories of political momentum. This is why you see parties replaced sometimes. This is why you see Donald Trump able to completely hollow out the inside of the Republican Party and just take that sucker over. Because, again, whoever wins tends to have the momentum, can take over the party. But what if there's nobody actually there to create a cohesive victory strategy for the Republican Party? And what if many of the tools that the party used to use to punish people, so, for example, punishing senators at the state legislature level for not doing what the state wanted them to do, that's gone away thanks to the 17th Amendment. Or let's say that in the House, it used to be that the party would punish you by taking away your committee assignment, or would punish you by trying to primary you. Now the party doesn't do any of those things. So when that is the case, what that means, the party has no leverage over you. And all the momentum in the party goes to the people who are on the TV the most, and they have control over the future of the party. Now, the Democratic Party has kept most of its patronage system. The Democratic Party has indeed retained an enormous amount of power over its own members. The Republican Party has not. The Republican Party has basically dissolved all power at the top levels of the party. And what that means is that without any level of cohesion, there's chaos. And with chaos, McConnell and company are just going to look for the easiest possible political solution, which means spending enormous sums of your own money. So the question as to what exactly the grand old party does these days is very open. What exactly would you say the Republican Party does do these days when they are signing on the dotted line on the same bills the Democrats are signing on to? What exactly? This is not a compromise piece of legislation. It blows out the budget again with another bill that no one has read and is filled with pork and is filled with bad priorities. So what exactly does the Republican Party do? It's a serious question. There better be some leadership inside the Republican Party in short order, or they will be in a state of collapse, despite the fact that the Democratic Party is wildly unpopular. I honestly, I cannot remember the last time a party took over the House and was considered more in disarray than the party that had just lost. Remember, the Democrats control the House right now. In January, they won't. But it's the Republican Party that seems to be on the ropes in the House, and the Democratic Party that seems to be in control in the House, which is an amazing spectacle and a demonstration of a complete lack of any sort of backbone or leadership capacity inside the Republican House. So what exactly was in this monstrosity? There's a lot in a $1.7 trillion bill. Again, it was a bipartisan 68-29 vote to tee up the measure for debate in the House. The compilation of long-stalled appropriations bills known as Nomnibus would provide nearly $773 billion for domestic programs and more than $850 billion for the military, covering expenses through the 2023 fiscal year, which concludes at the end of September. This is why you're seeing hawkish people like Tom Cotton sign on. He's saying we can't afford to hold up military spending. We don't want a government shutdown. That's why Cotton, who happens to be fiscally conservative, signed on to this thing. It's for the military spending. Republicans had insisted on robust Pentagon funding in months-long talks with Democrats, who secured some but not all of the health, education, labor, and economic spending they wanted. The must-pass nature of the bill, it was the final major piece of legislation before Congress resets in the new year, also offered a window for lawmakers to advance other long-stalled priorities. The sweeping omnibus is filled with provisions that would expand some Medicaid benefits, help Americans save for retirement, revise the presidential vote count, electoral vote counting process, and ban TikTok on government devices. But you could have done all of these as separate bills. The whole purpose of an omnibus sandwich is to be a crap sandwich. That's the entire purpose of it. Get people to vote for $800 billion in useless spending in order to get the military spending. Or if you are the Democrats, get people to vote for the useless spending and then bite your tongue and vote for the military spending. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said this is one of the most significant appropriations packages we have done in a long time. He stressed that it, quote, made aggressive investments in American families, workers, and national defense. By the way, you know what it didn't do? Was actually preserve the border, for example. There's no funding for closing the border. Title 42, there was an amendment that was proposed by Mike Lee to maintain Title 42, so at least in the short term we can shut the border. That was rejected. There was, of course, that $45 billion in appropriations for Ukrainian weaponry. And you can be in favor of that and still be very much against an omnibus package that includes an additional $1.65 trillion. Mike Lee said this is an act of extortion being leveraged on the United States Senate right before Christmas. This, of course, happens to be exactly true. Late on Wednesday night, Lee held up consideration of the omnibus as he tried to force lawmakers to extend a controversial immigration policy implemented during the Trump administration. Senate leaders ultimately worked out an arrangement to permit several amendment votes on the policy, known as Title 42, placating Lee, but his gambit failed. It allowed lawmakers to finalize the bill hours later. Get some more on this in just one second. First, I need you to do something today. With airfare prices surging and flights being canceled left and right, it's harder than ever for our wounded and ill service members to be with their loved ones on Christmas. Unless we do something right now, within the next 2 weeks, hundreds of these service members will be forced to be apart from their families on Christmas. Luke's Wings believes every wounded warrior should be able to spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, they've provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets reuniting families with these service members. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Donate right now. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers are running out of time. Please make a meaningful impact this Christmas for people who have sacrificed nearly everything for the country. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. lukeswings.org. You can help bring together a family. You can bring together a wounded warrior and members of their family on Christmas. Pretty amazing cause. Go check them out today. lukeswings.org. Again, that's lukeswings.org to give and bring a family together for the Christmas holiday.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up. So what exactly is in this omnibus package? A lot of stuff. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hey, music lovers, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium, wishing you and yours a holiday that's merry and bright. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. We have something for everyone on your list with huge concert announcements coming soon. Stuff that stocking with the gift of experience. Shows are always more fun at the Civic. Visit ReadingCivic.com today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, it's an omnibus package, 4,155 pages, $1.7 trillion. There's a lot of stuff in it. According to Politico, Ukraine aid is in the bill. That TikTok ban that was pushed by Senator Josh Hawley that would bar the download of TikTok on government devices made it into the bill. That, of course, is like baseline stuff. Of course the TikTok ban should be in the bill. We just found out over the course of the last 48 hours that TikTok actually spied on journalists. CNN reported literally yesterday that TikTok parent company ByteDance had to fire four employees who improperly accessed the personal data of two journalists on the platform, according to a TikTok spokesperson named Brooke Oberwetter. It creates things like telehealth extensions, which are fine. I mean, first of all, the fact that telehealth is banned in particular states is idiotic. Of course, you should be able to consult with a doctor who happens to be out of state via the internet. There is a lobster lifeline, which is exciting. Maine lawmakers successfully included a pause on new regulations they warned would cripple their state's lobster industry. There's also a bunch of tax provisions. There's a bunch of spending on the FBI, which is kind of astonishing considering the scandal that has now engulfed the FBI in coordinating with social media in order to shut down information about, for example, the Hunter Biden laptop story. So Republicans and Democrats voted for a big pay raise for the FBI, essentially. There is a boost for the National Labor Relations Board, the single worst piece of regulatory oversight mechanism in the United States. The NLRB is garbage. Lawmakers increased the budget for the NLRB by $25 million for the first time in nearly a decade. The NLRB's job is basically to yell at businesses until they do the bidding of Democrats. What else is what's out? Well, Biden had wanted $9 billion to help combat the COVID pandemic and other stuff, but that ended up out of the deal. There was apparently a piece of legislation that would have expanded protections for pregnant workers that didn't make it into the bill. But there are a bunch of business propositions that made it into the bill, some of which are pretty terrible. So, for example, antitrust efforts could get a boost at the federal and state levels, according to the Wall Street Journal. Fees would rise for merger filings. So what this means is more government intervention in the markets. The FDA gets new powers to oversee baby formula and cosmetics and to try to ensure that drugs granted a speedy approval undergo further testing to confirm that they work. Well, giving more funding to the FDA has been obviously an amazing move. The FDA did a horrible job during this pandemic. Retirees could postpone mandatory withdrawals from tax-deferred retirement accounts until they are 73 or 75 instead of 72 under the current rules. The legislation makes it easier for the president to release heating oil from the Federal Reserves. I mean, it's an agglomeration of just nonsense. I mean, there's some stuff here that's good, and there's a bunch of stuff here that's really bad. But what this really means in the long term is that we are not getting our spending problem under control, and we are, by the way, inflating the currency in the middle of an inflationary cycle. Inflation still has not come down, and the Congress's solution is, what if we toss another $2 trillion in spending in there? Now, this is part of a broader problem that's about to engulf Western markets, which is that governments just keep spending and spending and spending and spending. And they can try to crack down on inflation with their central banking procedures, but they're not going to be able to stop the economic stagnation that's to come when you just spend too much money. As Margaret Thatcher once said, eventually you run out of other people's money. And that is what's going to happen in Europe. Investors are bracing for European governments, led by Germany, to flood the market with new debt next year as they spend heavily to shield their economies from high energy costs, according to the Wall Street Journal. Governments in Europe are expected to increase bond issuance by 10% to 1.2 trillion euros in 2023. It's equivalent to about $1.27 trillion. That comes as the European Central Bank steps back from its role as a voracious buyer of Eurozone government bonds, with plans to start shrinking its bond portfolio starting in March. So this flood of new debt from Germany and other Eurozone countries means that they are going to start issuing more debt. It means that you're going to see larger debt and deficits. And this means, in the end, economic stagnation. It also means, in the United States, when you look at the measures that the White House is currently taking, when you spend this much money and when you encourage people not to work, what you end up is less people in the workforce, which means that by all Democratic governing strategies, when you have created a piece of policy that fails, you then create a piggyback piece of policy that also fails. According to the Wall Street Journal, top White House economic officials are considering a renewed push for a suite of policies aimed at luring more Americans back to work. You know what we used to call it to lure Americans back to work? Paying them a salary. It used to be in this country. You didn't have to lure people back to work. People looked for work in this country. Right? To lure people, like, what bizarre notion of markets is it that you lure people to work? The lure was the pay. You don't have to have the government luring people back to work unless the government is also paying people to stay home. So there's a quick solution for that. Stop paying people to stay home. So what exactly is the White House going to do? They're now talking about an enhanced child care and elder care benefit as they hammer out priorities for the coming year. The question of how to find enough workers has emerged as a significant issue as the country emerges from the pandemic, with a smaller share of adults working or looking for work than in early 2020. White House economic officials expect to brief President Biden on their thoughts over the holiday break as the administration shapes its agenda for 2023 and plans for Biden's State of the Union address. Brian Deese, director of the White House's National Economic Council, said to the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Where are places where we can lower price pressures on the economy, lower costs for consumers, increase the productive potential of the economy? The things we prioritize and focus on will be in that area." He didn't make clear exactly what that would look like, but the White House is going to push for paid family leave, universal pre-K, permanent expansion of the child tax credit, etc. So again, the idea is going to be that we are going to give you additional benefits from the government side if you go to work, as opposed to, you know, taking away the benefits that we are currently giving you to stay home and sit flat on your ass for years on end. Which means more spending, of course, and forever. Will Republicans actually stand up to that? Totally unclear. Because, I mean, let's be real about this. If what we just saw in the Senate Republicans voting for an omnibus package with Democrats in order to avoid negotiating with Republicans, there's no reason they can't do that next year. If the Republicans take over Congress, and if the new Speaker, whoever it is, Kevin McCarthy or anybody else, is unable to wield a durable majority in the House, you could see a bunch of Republicans just peel off and vote with the Democrats and start advancing Joe Biden's priorities. That's how weak the party is right now. Now, the predictable result of all of this is that you are going to have a stagnating economy in the very near future. The U.S. labor market continues to remain very tight because, again, we spent trillions of dollars to keep people at home. People continue to spend money. This continues to drive up the inflation rates, which is going to mean that the Federal Reserve has to drive down all of the inflation rates through higher interest rates, which is going to mean long-term economic stagnation. This is the direction in which the economy is going to move. And Democrats can't stop, won't stop. They're going to continue to push broader spending initiatives that please their most ardent fans. Already coming up, Democrats, they are pushing for more spending, and this is why Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib are now dancing on TikTok or something. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, They wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, Democrats have never stopped spending money, and this is why Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush are now dancing on TikTok to relieve student loan debt or some such. What you doing? Where you at? Oh, no. Yeah. Nothing worse than Congress people doing TikTok. I mean, first of all, no one should ever do TikTok dances. Are you an adult? Be an adult. But aside from that, also you shouldn't be on TikTok because they're going to steal all your data. So you have Congress people on TikTok giving their data to the Chinese while doing videos about canceling student loan debt. Both of those people, I believe, went to college, which is a good reason why you should never relieve their student loan debt. Ever, ever, ever. And again, the Democrats will continue to pursue really bad policy. The question is, do the Republicans have any power to stand up to it? One of the funniest things about the Democrats' bad policy, by the way, is that they have to spend a lot of time pretending that the bad policy doesn't actually exist. So Mayor Eric Adams is about to be hit with 1,000 illegal immigrants a day once Title 42 ends. And this is what New York City is actually foreseeing. He says that Joe Biden is doing fine on the border. Things are great.
Chuck Schumer, New York senator, managed to negotiate an increase from $150 million to $800 million for the cities that receive asylum seekers. And we're told, according to multiple sources, that New York City is positioned to receive a large batch of that amount. So here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams responding to that news this week.
I think the president has a good understanding of how this is a real issue. We were able to get this omnibus bill has the money in it that we need, some of the money in that we need. This is a national issue. And that's my conversation with the president's team.
So this is the same mayor who was yelling at Greg Abbott for shipping a few illegal immigrants up to New York City. But he's saying that Joe Biden is doing an amazing job. Listen, there are gaps in the Biden-Democrat policy wide enough to drive a Mack truck through. Joe Biden's approval rating right now is in the low 40s at best. And yet Republicans seem utterly incapable of taking advantage of that. Now, one reason for that, of course, is that the media are completely in the pocket of Democrats. Nancy Pelosi, who is now leaving her position as Speaker of the House, she won't be the House Minority Leader either. Hakeem Jeffries is about to take that over. She gave her last weekly press briefing yesterday as Speaker of the House with apparently a bunch of crumbs on her jacket or something. The hobbitses took the last of the lamless bread. But Nancy Pelosi, she actually, this is my favorite thing about the relationship between Democrats and their Praetorian Guard, is that they don't even pretend that the reporters aren't their best friends. It's really funny. Republicans deal with reporters and they're like, God, you guys are just, I understand your opposition and we'll treat each other respectfully, but I'm going to call you out on your nonsense. Democrats are like, go forward and do the work of the people. Like they turn into like Mr. Chips at the end of Goodbye, Mr. Chips, just giving lectures to the students. Here's Nancy Pelosi explaining to the media that they do an amazing job.
As you know, this is my final weekly press conference, and some of you have been covering Congress for a long time. Others are new. All of you are guardians of democracy. You've heard me say again and again, if there were one freedom in the First Amendment, the freedom of the press, that would be the one that protects and defends all the other freedoms.
It must be wonderful being a Democrat when you have an entire legacy media dedicated to your preservation and glorification. It must be just absolutely wonderful. And that's why you're able to move forward with terrible policy repeatedly. Now, the Democrats don't just rely on the media in order to push forward their policy. They have a bunch of forces working in their favor. One, Republican incompetence. Two, the media being their absolute best friends. And three, the ability to misdirect, because of one and two, to issues that do not actually take top priority for the American people, but they can spend inordinate amounts of time on. So Joe Biden made his Christmas address the other night. You know, he's able to mix religion and politics so long as the religion is so watered down that it doesn't actually hold by anything. This is the rule in American politics, is you're allowed to make religious appeals, but only to things that have nothing to do with religion, or to a vague sort of spirituality that has nothing to do with the actual gospel if you're Christian, for example. A little bit more on this in just a moment. First, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
So Joe Biden, yeah, he used Christmas as a time to talk up what a unifying man he was. I noticed that he wasn't in front of Independence Hall yelling at his political opponents and calling them fascists this time while calling for unity. Instead, he was in front of a bunch of twinkly lights over at the White House and explaining that he was a very unifying man.
I sincerely hope this holiday season will drain the poison that has infected our politics and set us against one another. I hope this Christmas season marks a fresh start for our nation, because there's so much that unites us as Americans.
Well, actually, there is increasingly little that unites us as Americans. This is actually what the Census Bureau is now showing. There are a couple of pieces of data that have come out in the last 24 hours showing that when it comes to the fundamental bases upon which we predicate our social fabric, many of these things are wearing away. And this is why you are seeing a big sort happening in American life. So there's a certain irony to Joe Biden, who's a deeply anti-religious figure. If you look at his social policy, transing the children, same-sex marriage, these are policies that are directed against traditional religion. There's a president who has suggested that basically, if you're a traditionally religious person, your religious practice needs to end at the front door of your home or at the side door of your church. That's where your religious practice ends. And even there, he's basically saying we can do that for now, but not for very long. And he's banking on the fact that in the United States, church attendance has been dropping, that religious adherence has been dropping. Because if you get rid of the church, then the God becomes the state. These two things tend to merge. Human beings have a religious impulse. They want to follow something. And Joe Biden believes that what people should follow is the moral suasion of government. And so he does have some forces working in his favor here, including the lack of religious traditionalism in America right now. According to Hannah Blow, reporting for Breitbart, church attendance and general belief in God has dropped in the United States over the past few years, according to recent surveys. A Gallup survey released over the summer found that belief in God sunk to an all-time low this year, down to 81%. It identified young individuals and leftists as the people most likely to not believe in God. It works the other way around, by the way. The people who are most likely not to believe in God tend to be leftists. It's not just the leftists don't believe in God. It's people who don't believe in God tend to move toward the left. As Breitbart reported at the time, according to the survey, most U.S. adults, 81%, believe in God. While that figure seems high, it's the lowest percentage ever recorded in the survey. Also, there are a lot of people who say they believe in God, but what they mean by believing God is they believe in vague spiritual forces and sort of the C.S. Lewis description of the term. Up until 2011, over 90% of Americans said they believed in God. The number has continued to drop. It's now down 8 points from 89% who expressed belief in God in 2016, which is a radical decrease. You're talking about a 10% decrease in just the last 10 years. The previous low was set in 2014 when 86% said they believed in God. When Gallup asked the same question in 1953, 54, 65, 67, 98% said they believed in God. Also, The Hill found roughly one-fifth of Americans do not consider themselves part of a religion, which coincides with the percentage of Americans not expressing belief in God as well. And again, this leaves out the fact that a huge people who say that they are part of religion aren't actually adherents to the specific tenets of the religion. I mean, Joe Biden says that he is a religious Catholic, and then again promotes a bunch of policy that is directly against the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Same thing for Nancy Pelosi. A survey Center on American Life report detailed in March 2020 found that younger generations are less likely to adhere to a religion. Over one-third of Generation Z, 34%, consider themselves unaffiliated from religious groups. That figure decreases to 29% among millennials, 25% among Generation X, 18% among baby boomers, and 9% of the silent generation. There's been a precipitous drop in church membership over the past three decades among those on the political left. In 1998, a majority of liberals, 57%, were members of a church or other type of religious organization. Now, 35% of liberals say that they are members of church or another religious organization. So when you have Joe Biden sitting there and talking about the unifying traditions of the United States in front of a bunch of Christmas trees, what he does not mean is actual traditional religion, which was the glue that bound together the social fabric of the United States. De Tocqueville talks about this. He talks about how religious adherence among common people who gathered together in churches and communities was the glue that held together the United States in the absence of an overarching central government. When you lose that glue, then there has to be some sort of ersatz glue that is used. A stapler is used. And that stapler tends to come in the form of government. And Joe Biden knows this. It is not just happening in the United States, by the way. This is happening all around the world. The secular trends that have taken over the West are going to eat the West. They are going to destroy the West. They're going to destroy all of the rights that people have traditionally enjoyed in the United States. Because the thing is that what upholds the rights of people is, in fact, the fundamental institutions that undergird those rights. Rights don't just come tabula rasa from nowhere. Rights do not pre-exist institutions. They coincide with institutions. If you read Lockean philosophy, here's where John Locke was wrong. He suggested, if you read him in a particular way, that rights are inherent and institutions are sort of artificial. That is not correct. Institutions pre-exist rights. Families, the chief institution, pre-exist rights. Rights were created in order to protect families, in order to protect spheres of freedom within the roles and institutions that already existed. When rights start to destroy the institutions, the rights themselves are going to fall apart. And that's exactly what's happened in, for example, the UK. In the UK, the institutions of church, of religion, these have become taboo. This is also happening in Canada, for example. It's happened all over Europe, and at least Western Europe. Eastern Europe is still very religious. And when you look to what's happening in Britain, you'll notice that one of the first things to go, along with freedom of religion, is freedom of speech. There's an amazing story out of the UK yesterday in which a pro-life activist was arrested for literally standing outside an abortion clinic. Now, she wasn't harassing anybody. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't holding a sign. She was a person standing there. But you are not allowed to stand there. There's tape that actually emerged of this incident in Britain. It's pretty incredible.
Before I ask you any questions about what's going on today, I have to caution you, which is just your right, which is you do not have to say anything. It may harm your defence if you do not mention one question. Something that you later on in court, anything you do say may be given. What are you here for today?
Physically, I'm just standing here.
Okay. Why here, of all places? I know you don't live nearby.
But this is an abortion centre.
Okay, that's why you're just... Is you standing here part of the protest?
No, I'm not protesting.
Are you praying?
I might be praying in my head.
So I'll ask you once more, will you voluntarily come with us now to the police station for me to ask you some questions about today and other days where there are allegations that you've broken public spaces protection?
If I've got a choice, then no.
Okay, well then you're under arrest. I can't suspicion of failing to comply with the public spaces protection order.
Okay, so the public spaces protection order says that you are not allowed to stand outside an abortion clinic not doing anything. Right? Any other place in the UK, you can apparently just stand there. I mean, they could have arrested her for loitering or trespassing. They don't. They're arresting her because she is silently praying in her head without moving her face. You think that rights matter in the UK? They do not. We're not even talking about freedom of religion. That'd be like freedom of speech. How about like freedom of standing there? According to Fox News, Isabel Vaughan Spruce, director of the UK March for Life, was standing near the BPAS Robert Clinic in King's Norton, Birmingham, in an area ADF at UK called a censorship zone. When police approached her after an onlooker complained she might be praying outside the abortion facility, God forbid. And that would just be terrible. If somebody were to pray, I mean, that's terrible. Birmingham's authorities established a buffer zone around abortion clinics, which makes it illegal for an individual to engage in any act or attempted act of approval or disapproval as it relates to abortion, and includes verbal or written means like praying or counseling. So it is now approval or disapproval to stand there, to literally stand there. Vaughn Spruce says, I was exercising my freedom of thought, my freedom of religion, inside the privacy of my own mind. Nobody should be criminalized for thinking and for praying in a public space in the UK. She says, this is something I've pretty much done every week for around the last 20 years of my life. I pray for my friends who've experienced abortion, for the women who are thinking about going through with it themselves. Vaughn Spruce has stood near the abortion facility while it was closed three times and said she might have been praying. According to the ADF UK, police showed her photos of herself standing outside the facility and asked if she was praying, which she said she could not answer since she spent some time praying but got distracted at other times. Not praying the whole time. I mean, this sort of stuff, again, if you believe that the social fabric of the United States is going to withstand the secular encroachments that essentially argue against the rights of religion and speech, so long as they violate the tenets and belief system of the left, this is what you end up with in the UK. And so what you're seeing in the United States is increasingly a big sword, an ideological sword happening. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is saying that Christmas is a time of goodwill and cheer, but also he doesn't really like religion all that much. Religion is declining in the United States, and this is a serious problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlize Tap House rule number 2, never stay empty-handed. Charlize Tap House and Mobile Catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlize Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlize Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Goldleaf Nursery has you covered. Protect your citrus tree and cross tender shrubs from freezing. Goldleaf Nursery has frost cloth in assorted sizes and custom cut sizes up to 12 feet wide. Just arrived. Living Christmas trees. Choose from Colorado blue spruce, baby blue spruce, Norway spruce, dwarf Alberta fir trees, and fat Albert blue spruce. Tis the season to be freezing. So don't forget to cover up with frost cloth. Goldleaf Nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 8 to 5. We're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, around Christmas time, Hanukkah, it's holiday season. Well, at this time, it would be a good time to talk about whether religion is on the upswing or the downswing in the United States. Okay, so, the decline of religion in the United States is actually causing a greater rift in the United States. The promise was that as religion declined in the United States, that secularism would take over, there would be sort of a vast blob, and we would all be part of that vast blob together, in which we got together under the auspices of government. Instead, what's happening is that people are fleeing the more secularized states, and they are moving to more religious states. Now, it also happens to be that a lot of those more religious states have broader economic protections, broader economic freedoms. This is one of the things that I think the left refuses to understand is, again, rights, particularly property rights, are very much connected to viable institutions that instill social trust. When you have a religious community, people are very respectful of other people's property rights, specifically because they know that their neighbor is not trying to screw them. According to Pluribus News, the United States added more than 1.2 million residents over the course of the past year as population growth rebounded from pandemic-era lows. That is an increase attributed almost entirely to international migrants coming to the country. So that is partially our open border. But the more important part of this study, aside from the fact that we aren't having kids and we're importing population, the more important part of the study is where exactly population is being gained. Population growth is not even across the states. Almost all of the top 10 states that added the most residents were in the South. Texas added 470,000 new residents. Florida added 416,000 people. North Carolina and Georgia both added more than 100,000 residents. Arizona added 94,000. South Carolina, Tennessee, Washington, Utah, Idaho all added tens of thousands of new residents. The only blue state is Washington. That is the only blue state. And it is important to mention that in Washington, eastern Washington is very heavily red. Rust Belt states continued a long trend of population declines. New York's population fell by 180,000. Illinois shed more than 100,000 people. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, Ohio all lost population as well. California has seen its population drop in recent years, too. The nation's largest state declined by 113,000 people last year. The number of people who moved out of California outpaced the number who moved in by a whopping 343,000 residents, according to the Census Bureau data. Nearly 300,000 New Yorkers moved out of the state over the last year alone. So when we're talking about, you know, how many people overall left, some people moved in, but way more people moved out. Texas has now joined California as the only two states with populations north of 30 million. Florida, which only recently passed New York to become the nation's third most populous state, has more than 2.5 million more residents than the Empire State. So it is not a shock. All of these states populous. Meanwhile, all of the states, they're becoming blue as they become less populous. This makes perfect sense. A giant ideological sort is happening right now. And the states that are going to grow the fastest are the ones that provide for economic freedom. The states that are going to grow the fastest also happens to be, those also happen to be the states with the highest levels of religious adherence. This is not a coincidence. The left wishes you to believe that freedom is dependent on freedom from godliness, freedom from religion, freedom from community, freedom from institutions. The only freedom that is dependent on that is sexual libertinism. All the other freedoms are actually very much dependent on viable social institutions that hold together a society built on trust. And when those institutions disappear, what you end up with is a less trusting America. Now, the great irony of what's happening economically speaking right now in terms of, say, Sam Bankman-Fried is that the entire basis of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency was supposed to be a trustless system. The idea was you don't need social institutions in order to trust the trustless system, because obviously cryptocurrencies are reliant on the blockchain. The blockchain is all about verifiability and being able to track money through various mechanisms and being able to verify that certain transactions have taken place and that the money that is in your specific wallet is yours and all the rest. But people have a tendency always to rely on trust even when they should not. And that's how Sam Bankman-Fried took advantage of the situation. Yesterday, he was released on a $250 million bond with restrictions. Now, was he really released on a $250 million bond? The answer is no. Nobody put up $250 million in collateral so Sam Bankman-Fried could walk around free. That's not exactly what happened here. Basically, the government pretended that they had set the bond that high in order so they could say that we're taking this super seriously. In reality, his parents basically put up his house, their house, as collateral. But the likelihood is that Bankman-Fried is going to spend an awful long time in prison. His release also followed an announcement by Damian Williams, the U.S. Attorney for Southern District of New York, on Wednesday night that two former executives of Bankman-Fried's businesses, Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang, had pled guilty to federal fraud charges and were cooperating with prosecutors. Those charges against the executives are likely to further complicate Bankman-Fried's defense. The criminal investigation into FTX and its related entities have moved with startling speed. In under 2 months, FTX went from a flourishing exchange to a bankrupt entity whose executives are facing criminal charges for some of the financial world's most serious violations. Prosecutors have said that Bankman-Fried's crimes led to the implosion of his exchange and billions in customer losses. So, and again, this is what happens. Even a trustless system, it turns out, people tend to want to trust people. They do want to trust people. And when you have a system in the United States, more broadly speaking in the West, that undermines fundamental bases of trust because we don't have the same values anymore. And what is supposed to replace it is kind of niceness and civility as opposed to common standards of behavior and common goals. What you end up with is an ersatz social fabric that is about as comfortable as nylon. It is not going to wear well. And that's what's happening in the United States writ large in terms of our civil society. So people are forming new civil societies, but they're doing so on the state level. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Thousands of travelers stranded at airports are stuck on hold trying to rebook flights this week as a massive storm snarled travel in the U.S. and Canada ahead of the holidays. As of Friday, more than 16,000 flights into or out of U.S. airports had been delayed or canceled, according to the flight tracking service FlightAware.com. Spokesperson Kathleen Bangs.
The average delay time yesterday going in today was 68 minutes. So that, unfortunately, really affects anyone who's got a connecting flight. And we're going to see a lot of people missing connecting flights with these long delay times.
The winter storm slamming the U.S. causes a 46-car pileup in Ohio. State Patrol said the Friday incident took place on the turnpike. It closed both directions of traffic. Buses were used to transfer people from the crash site to local hospitals. Reportedly, three people were killed. Many more were injured. Barack Obama has no weather worries. He's spending the holiday in Hawaii. Former president was seen in Hawaii on Thursday playing golf. WNBA Brittany Griner asking supporters to advocate for another American still being held in Russia.
In a social media post, Griner says advocacy for her release and letters of support made a big impact. And she's asking supporters to do the same for former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, who's serving a 16-year prison term in Russia for espionage charges the United States says are baseless. Whelan was arrested 4 years ago. The U.S. had attempted to secure the release of both Griner and Whelan, but Russia agreed to swap only Griner for convicted arms dealer Victor Boot. Griner writes, I hope you'll join me in writing to Paul Whelan and continuing to advocate for other Americans to be rescued and returned to their...
More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
It's a win for traditional brick-and-mortar retailers.
For years, they've been complaining about the amount of goods being stolen from their stores and later sold online. The government's latest spending bill includes a provision forcing online marketplaces like Amazon and Facebook to verify high-volume sellers. The so-called Inform Act looks to combat the sale of these goods and other counterfeit items by requiring online marketplaces to verify several kinds of information. Rich Thomason reporting.
Police in a small Kentucky city got a call about a guy exposing himself outside, but they were happy to learn it was just part of a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation holiday decoration. The woman who owns the house about 20 miles south of Louisville says Christmas Vacation is her favorite movie, thus the robed Cousin Eddie mannequin standing by the street. She says she plans to add more characters next year. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Strikes over pay in France and the UK are disrupting Christmas travel in both of those countries.
Air travellers are facing possible delays at UK airports as government workers who check passports have gone on strike until the end of the year, with the exception of one day. It's the latest spate of walkouts over pay amid a cost-of-living crisis that is putting mounting pressure on Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's government. The government is refusing demands from public sector workers for substantial pay rises. France is bracing for similar travel disruption, with a weekend rail strike on the horizon. Authorities are expecting a 40% reduction in rail services over the Christmas weekend. I'm Karen Chamas.
Annual reenactment of George Washington's famous Christmas crossing on the Delaware River happening this weekend, and the temperatures will mimic the weather of the actual event. The historical crossing marked a turning point in the Revolutionary War in favor of the soon-to-be Americans. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
I sincerely hope this holiday season will drain the poison that has infected our politics and set us against one another.
Ah, yes. Joe Biden with his Christmas message to America, especially the Republicans who will put you all back in chains. Because he's about unity, and it's the Christmas season. So he's giving the United States of America to the world. Hey, our border's open. We're going to end Title 42. Come and get it. Got to ring the bell on the front porch. Come and get it. Because his gift to the world is, well, everything you've spent your life working for. See the hospital. Story of a border hospital. Been stuck with at least $20 million in illegal alien medical bills. They're free. They're like doing heart surgery. Illegal aliens walk across. Oh, hey, I've got diabetes. Hey, I'm going to need dialysis. Hey, I need heart surgery. And the hospital's like, well, okay. And Joe Biden is Mr. Unity. He's Mr. Unity, except for all that stuff that he says all the time. But pay no attention to that. Well, very happy Friday to you, and welcome. We are, as always, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And today, as you might imagine, is December 23rd. You know what that means, don't you? Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. It happens every year. And the day after, Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Democrats, well, we got that Elie Mystel. We've got some sound bites of the year for you. And this Harvard lawyer, radical, left-wing, America-hating racist, Elie Mystel, naturally on MSDNC all the time. That's if you're a frothy anti-American racist. MSDNC is the station for you. The good news is that there are only about one college football stadium full of people watching that channel at any given time. That's not very many people in a nation of 330-some-odd million people. And in fact, with the open borders, maybe 350 million. Because Joe Biden, he is waving across the border. He's waving in more people than went through Ellis Island in 60 years. Ellis Island, 60 years, 62 years, actually. 11 million to 12 million people came through Ellis Island. They came in legally, by the way. That was the legal way coming into the United States. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he's ringing the dinner bell and opening the border, and his Christmas gift to the world is America and everything in it.
Illegal immigration is illegal.
It is. That's technically true. And the big Democrat donor, Sam Bankman-Fried. You see, they smuggled him into the country in a private jet with no windows night before last. Did you see where they landed? At that airport in Westchester County, New York, where Biden was smuggling all the illegal aliens. And then when it was discovered by a secret camera, the news media buried the story because they're not a legitimate news media. Oh, Nancy Pelosi yesterday had her last press conference, talked about how the news media in America are the guardians of the galaxy. And unfortunately, they have no interest in guarding the galaxy, so they're not doing that. But we'll get to that, too. Sam Bankman-Fried, number two donor behind George Soros to the Democrat Party last election cycle, the midterm elections. And that's okay. And also when billionaires, you know, like Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, when he gives $400 million to the Democrats, that's not money in politics. See, that's not billionaires tampering with our electoral system. That's just, you know, good, healthy political fundraising, and they don't even have to raise the funds. He just spends $400 million on his own. They're corrupt people. They're fundamentally corrupt people. But Sam Bankman-Fried smuggled back into the country, and he went to court, and then he was released because, you know, on $250 million bond. But didn't I just read a whole bunch of stories a week ago saying that his net worth was now down to $100,000? Because I thought that I had, and so I went to the Google machine and the DuckDuckGo, and I looked at it, and sure enough, just about a week ago, stories all over the place that poor Sam Bankman-Fried was in jail in the Bahamas because the Democrats didn't want him testifying before Congress under oath, even remotely. So they the corrupt Biden administration and the corrupt Attorney General Merrick Garland put the kibosh on that congressional testimony by Sam Bankman-Fried. And he was thrown into a dangerous, filthy beep hole prison in the Bahamas. And fortunately, then they sent a jet for him, and he was smuggled into Westchester County Airport and under the cover of darkness. They do a lot of this planes under cover of darkness thing, don't they? Obama and Biden brought in those airplanes with pallets of shrink-wrapped euros, no less, not even American dollars, but billions of dollars in cash to the Iranians, to the Islamic Revolution in Iran and the Ayatollah. Obama and Biden did this. Billions and billions, untold billions, tens of billions of dollars, not just on the pallets, but they did bring in the pallets of cash, too, for the Iranian terrorists. It's the number one terrorist state sponsors of terror in the world, and their number one financier is Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Not that anybody's counting, but that's the thing. That's got nothing to do with it, I'm sure. It's more about the communism than the Islamism, although he did say that the call to prayer is the most beautiful sound he'd ever heard. I've heard the call to prayer in many places around the world. It's actually nice. It's not the most beautiful sound in the world. You know, I might like a Christmas song or something more than that. You know, I can't stay, but it's cold outside. That's, you know, the song that Democrats object to every year because it's too hetero, which is their actual problem with it. Way too hetero. Wait a minute, it's a young man and a young woman, and there's a snowstorm, and it's Christmas time, and he's trying to convince her to stay? That's like the Rape of Nanking. This is amazing stuff. Yeah, but Sam Bankman is freed, is back in town, back in the country. And he was immediately released on bail, $250 million, even though we were told in news report after news report just days ago that he now had a net worth of $100,000, which is less than $250 million. And so you got to put up $25 million. And now he's living in his parents' big house, which was bought with his ill-gotten gains. And that's okay, because they're Democrats. And were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. They parade this every day. And have you seen this Sam Bankman-Fried, his ex-girlfriend? Why ex? Caroline Ellison, have you seen this? And FTX co-founder Gary Wang have both pleaded guilty to fraud. And the story is they're going to turn on Sam Bankman-Fried and try to get him thrown in prison for a long, long time. Not a very good ex-girlfriend, I think. But where did the $25 million cash bail come from? If the bail was $250 million, you got to put up 10%. Somebody had $25 million, but we were just told that he only had $100,000. So how does that happen? Somebody explain that to me. And now maybe it's better this way. He may have a slip and a fall in the bathtub in his parents' big house rather than, because there are no cameras there either, just like Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell. Amazing, amazing time. Yeah, and this ex-girlfriend, have you seen her? She's supposed to be, I read that she's a math wizard or something. She looks like a young girl that would screw up your order at Starbucks. Not that I actually go to Starbucks, but she looks like what I'd expect to find behind the counter, you know, a barista that gets it wrong. She looks like a, you know, dipsy doodle, and your looks do matter a lot. So news of the charges came after the authorities handed Bankman-Fried over to FBI custody. I'm surprised they didn't kill him and burn his house down, because it's not over yet, because the FBI, you know. What was that? I got another institution that has destroyed its. The news media and the FBI. The news media and the FBI kind of in the same boat. Once respected and revered, even institutions that now it's not so good for either one of them. Yeah, but they're turning on Sam Bankman-Fried, and that means he's in trouble again. I'm surprised. A little surprised. All right, I'm a lot surprised that he survived his jail experience in the Bahamas, because we're going to need more detail on that, because he obviously was not in the general population. So we got that to go. And speaking of Democrats and Christmas, and I hope we're all planning for Christmas. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. That means that Sunday is Christmas Day. And it is, of course, about the birth of Jesus Christ and the birth of Christianity. And Christendom, which has been probably the greatest thing to ever happen to humankind in the history of history. But liberals, they like the after-school Satan Club and drag queen Christmas story time for kindergarten kids. And they're not exactly on board with this whole Western civilization thing these days. They're the left. They dog is their co-pilot. And there's a secular apocalypse coming, and only they can save us from it. And it's your fault, because that's the left, godless, anti-American, anti-capitalist, you know. We got one today, the drag queen named Ms. Cracker. Ms. Cracker, M-I-Z, because it's important to raise children in an illiterate world where everything is misspelled. That's good. Ms. Cracker wants to kick down traditional values in new Christmas play, which has probably got, you know, millions in support. Probably George Soros might be funding it. Anti-Semite that he is. I've decided I'm just going to call George Soros the anti-Semite from now on, I guess, because why not? I'm taking lessons from the lefty Democrats, don't you know? And here is this is a great one, Michael Piercy found, from the radical left-wing extremists at the Atlantic magazine. Who's there? I was talking about somebody that said, oh, yeah, what's his name? The former Republican Politico guy who's at, we saw him at a restaurant the other night, you know, that guy. David Frum. He's at the Atlantic now. He used to be a Republican, you know, Bush administration speechwriter. But the Atlantic has the headline, "The War on Christmas is Winning." The war on Christmas is winning? Yeah? The football game is winning. I mean, what is that? The war on Christmas? Wait, the war is winning? So in "The War on Christmas is Winning" is a completely illiterate headline. It doesn't mean anything. The holiday is becoming less religious occasion for millions of Americans. So did they mean to say the war on Christmas is working and that people are becoming less religious because they're godless leftist communists? And the graphic they have for this is, of course, an attack on Donald Trump. They got a graphic picture of Donald Trump and his face chopped up like that. And the really dim-witted, nearly illiterate David A. Graham and the headline writer is that the radical left-wing extremist, this is how the game is played now, Atlantic Magazine, "The War on Christmas is Winning." Send that back to rewrite. What a maroon, honestly. "The holiday is becoming a less religious occasion for millions of Americans." And that's what they're celebrating here. David Graham, who actually has horns and a tail with a point on it, because he's an early beneficiary of the after-school Satan Club, perhaps, which the Democrat Party is promoting and pushing all over the country. And not just in Virginia, but in California and Kansas, and all the after-school Satan Clubs are everywhere because the Democrat Party hates Jesus and God, because the state is God, and the state will stomp on your head and tell you what to do. "Do they know Christmas? Do they know it's Christmas?" the musician Bob Geldof once asked. Nearly three decades on, the answer in the United States is that they know perfectly well. But what that means and how they express it is in flux. This is an anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Christmas, anti-American, screed by David A. Graham, a godless communist, and the Atlantic Magazine, where, you know, godlessness rules supreme. And this is what they write for Christmas, because could it be Satan? Honestly, you Democrats, you need psychological help. In all kinds of ways. We're at 888-630-9625. We've got the Republicans voting for the omnibus bill, even though all kinds of terrible stuff is in it. Terrible, horrible stuff. You know, the Republican Party is going the way of the FBI and the news media, too. And we've got that. And if you point out that one of the, you know, garbage elements in this bill is paying millions of dollars to name the Michelle Obama Trail, then you're a racist. Ignore all the rest of the bad stuff that's in there. So we got that going in there. And, you know, tech and corruption. But it's Christmas, so we'll, you know, we'll be happy about it, too. We're at 888-630-9625.
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast. Bo Jackson talks about his greatest accomplishment.
July 21st, 1990. I took third strike on purpose right down the pike, turned around, had a few choice words with the umpire. He proceeded to toss me out of the game, spent the rest of the day with my wife and my baby girl, who was born that morning at 6:30 a.m.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes. I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No. It's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PUSH for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code PUSH. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PUSH for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PUSH.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Goldleaf Nursery has you covered. Protect your citrus tree and frost tender shrubs from freezing. Goldleaf Nursery has frost cloth in assorted sizes and custom cut sizes up to 12 feet wide. Just arrived. Living Christmas trees. Choose from Colorado blue spruce, baby blue spruce, Norway spruce, dwarf Alberta fir trees, and fat Albert blue spruce. Tis the season to be freezing. So don't forget to cover up with frost cloth. Goldleaf Nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 8 to 5. We're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
There's a fun tweet out there by Bartleby. Bartleby, like Bartleby the Scrivener. With a picture of Juicy Smollett crying, naturally, his natural state. and a picture of Juicy Smollett walking in the middle of the night to go to the subway store, you know, when it's MAGA country, you know. And Bartleby wrote, it's minus 7 degrees in Chicago right now. The wind chill is minus 22. Or in other words, it's the perfect time to take a walk to go get some Subway. Because that was Juicy Smollett's story, remember that? He's a Democrat, by the way. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Aaron calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Aaron, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Sorry if you hear the background noise. I'm at work. First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome.
I just want to say that we need to remember Christmas about being Jesus being born. And the reason he came to earth was to die for us, save us from our sins, so that we can live eternally with him forever and ever. And we're losing that.
Well, that's what this Atlantic Magazine article is celebrating here, because they are mainstream Democrats, also known as radical leftist extremist, anti-God, anti-American, anti-Christian. And they've got this this article is unbelievable. Conservatives have warned for years of a war on Christmas. Former President Donald Trump adopted it as a major cause. Slight overstatement. Nearly 4 in 10 Americans said in a poll last December that politicians are waging a campaign to take religion out of the holiday. Well, liberals are. Democrats are. Liberals have scoffed at the idea that anyone is trying to downplay Christmas, he says in an article downplaying Christmas as a liberal. They're amazing, aren't they, Aaron?
They really are. And, Chris, I got one more thing to say.
Yes, sir.
I ordered the FBI Fascist and Bureau of Intimidation T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And at the ChrisPlantStore.com. Everybody go get it.
And excellent.
And I didn't put in my koozie because I didn't know if I was going to get the free one or not. I didn't know if you had to put it in the shopping cart.
Free koozie?
Yeah, do you have to put that in the shopping cart and then order it?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, I did it last year. I got my my Disobey T-shirt last year for Christmas.
Excellent.
And I did get my koozie last year.
Well, I believe that you get a free koozie. If you don't, you let me know, and we'll straighten that out.
Well, I did, and I'll let you know.
All right. God bless you, Aaron. Thank you for calling in. Merry Christmas.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
You know, I grew up mostly Chicago, North Shore of Chicago, and texting this morning with one of my brothers, sharing the Juicy Smollett tweet, you know, that 20-something degrees below zero, perfect time to walk to the subway to get a sandwich in the middle of the night, right? And one of my brothers texted, because I sent the thing and it said it's like minus 7 degrees and minus 23 with the wind chill. He corrected me. Minus 10 degree temperature, it's negative 10 degrees, that's the air temperature. Minus 35 degrees below zero with the wind chill in Chicago right now. In fact, he said that the cold water faucet in his bathroom and his kitchen are frozen. The pipes are frozen. The water is frozen in the pipes. And that is why so many people, just another example of why so many people around the world are looking forward to more global warming. But the Democrats want more frozen pipes because they're wrong about everything. Just everything altogether. Pretty amazing. Man, oh, manischewitz. Crazy. We got the Democrats. Well, I want to get to Joe Biden because we just had a very nice call from Aaron in Baltimore. And who's buying? He bought his Fascist Bureau of Intimidation shirt from the Chris Plant Store, hoping that his free koozie will be included, which, you know, it certainly should be. And he got his Disobey shirt last year. He's great. I'm going to see. And if I run into Aaron, I'm gonna have to buy Aaron a beer, too, aren't I? Because I'd like to. It's kind of like I'd like to buy the world a beer and keep it company. We got a lot of crazy for you today because it's a day of the week in the United States of America in 2022, and the Democrats are in charge of pretty much everything. Culturally, semantically, they control the dictionary, or dictionaries, plural. And Joe Biden, he's not very familiar with the dictionary. The people at the Atlantic Magazine are not very familiar with dictionaries either, are they? I mean, this headline is illiterate. The war on Christmas is winning. That's like saying the war in Ukraine is winning, right? The war in Ukraine is winning! Yay! What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. I think, again, I'll correct them because they're too stupid. David A. Graham, not a bright person. And the war on Christmas is working. And they explain that fewer people are going to church, although I think they say less people because they're illiterate. And fewer people are going to church, fewer people believe in God, they're Democrats, and they go to after-school Satan Club, and they sacrifice their children in the name of the weather. And they've got the secular apocalypse, they're terrorizing their little children, that the earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon. You know, we should get Katie Porter's daughter a T-shirt that says, for Christmas, don't you think? The earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon. That might be a funny shirt at the Chris Plant store.
Also, if she grows out of it, it proves her wrong.
Yeah, she was saying this when she's 9 years old. And, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said we only have 9 years left before the planet is uninhabitable. Little did we know, she wasn't talking about the weather. She was talking about the left taking over, and then the planet will be uninhabitable within 9 years.
But no reason to save for a college fund.
But well, that's true. Yeah, you can save a lot of money. I mean, if nobody's going to college, then, spend now. Just buy crack. Buy fentanyl. You know, have a party. The Democrat Party. Pretty crazy stuff. Yeah, and they're very excited here. Liberals have scoffed at the idea that anyone is trying to downplay Christmas. He says in an article where liberals are downplaying Christmas. They no sense of irony. Right? That's... it's another one of my sayings I say because it's true. And they, how many times? They attack President Trump in the article 6 times. It is a psychosexual Freudian addiction they have to hating Donald Trump. And they hate so much and so many. How do they do it? I know. It must be the crack. Pretty amazing. For Trump, one of the key elements of the war on Christmas was a supposed unwillingness to say Merry Christmas, as the phrase has been replaced by more inclusive but less explicitly Christian phrases like, if I become president, we're going to be saying Merry Christmas to everyone. So how terrible. Isn't that awful? He promised in 2015... you can leave happy holidays at the corner. And after Trump's victory in 2016, about which they're still in a psychosexual panic, his former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, proclaimed, you can say again Merry Christmas because Donald Trump is now the president. Now, they're still upset about this. These people really need help. It shouldn't be called, what were we saying earlier? It shouldn't be called the Democratic Party. It should be called the Broken Person Party. It's the party for broken persons.
And neurodivergent.
And there are definitely, so many of them are neurodivergent. Neurodivergent is what the people at Stanford University recommend you use instead of saying, and it's their guide, I'm just saying. I'm just reading the guide from Stanford University. It says, stop saying retard as though everybody uses that, and start using neurodivergent instead. So know that Joe Biden is neurodivergent. Maybe we should have a T-shirt that with a picture of Joe Biden that says, you know, neurodivergent as well. From the Stanford University English to Liberal Translation Dictionary. This is... That's all right. Wait, I still haven't gotten to Joe Biden. Let's get to Joe Biden yesterday, who was bringing us all together. And this was his Christmas message. But listen carefully to what Joe Biden says. And this is the speechwriters. It's not like he was making this up. He can't speak on his own. He has to have, because every time he does, he proves that he's neurodivergent. And here's Joe Biden yesterday at the White House. He lives there, amazingly. And more votes than anybody in the history of the country. And that's perfectly normal, right? Because abnormal, because their goal, and they've been quite successful, was to make the abnormal appear normal while simultaneously making the normal appear abnormal. And that's how we ended up with Joe Biden living in the White House. But here he is yesterday. And listen to how he doesn't want to self-identify as a Christian. Listen to his phrasing. He doesn't want to say, this is what Christians think, not that I'm one of them, about Christmas.
I look to the sky, to a lone star, shining brighter than all the rest.
CO2.
Guiding us to the birth of a child. A child Christians believe to be the Son of God.
Is this from Charlie Brown?
Miraculously now, here among us on earth.
So that Christians believe to be the... Wait, that Christians believe? That he had to qualify it, like he's in court. Well, it's still, you know, that Christians believe, not that I'm one of those, because... Just because a lot of people, I wouldn't want to, because... I'm neurodivergent. He is neurodivergent, isn't he? There's more from Joe Biden, because yesterday he was speaking to the nation, and that's who Christians believe is the Son of God. That's you don't want to walk on any limbs there. And it's we were talking about this morning, and someone in the room suggested, well, you know, maybe he doesn't want to offend Muslims. And I said, well, no, he doesn't want to offend liberals. That's actually who he's trying to avoid offending, is godless Satan Club liberals who sacrifice 40% of the black population on the altar of choice. It's choice. Right?
Guiding us to the birth of a child. A child Christians believe to be the Son of God.
A legal qualifier there. From the speechwriters and from Joe Biden at the White House. You can't just say, Son of God, the birth of the Son of God. You can't say that because that would sound too Christian-y. And honestly, he's not worried about offending the Ayatollah because he caters to the Ayatollah at every turn. Anyway, but that was about avoiding offending liberals.
When you preface your statement with, if this is true, that, to me, gives you all the cover you need.
I would think so, you know, if true. For, you know, Joe Biden, as I understand it, has a functioning brain. And if true, but it's not.
Child, so, Christians believe to be the Son of God.
Yeah. How many grandchildren do you have? Womp, womp, womp. Let's go to number two. Because here's the guy who said that. To an African-American audience, that Mitt Romney, of all people, was going to put all... Now, this is keeping in mind, the Democrat Party is the party of the Confederate States of America, and Jefferson Davis was a Democrat president. He was president of the Confederacy. Abraham Lincoln, president of the United States of America. And Joe Biden.
Romney wants to let the... He said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street.
Unchain.
They're going to put y'all back in chains.
Yeah. The party of Lincoln is going to put y'all back in chains. That's Joe Biden. And yesterday, he's Mr. Unity.
Too often we see each other as enemies, not as neighbors.
We put y'all back in chains.
Republicans, not as fellow Americans.
Yeah.
We become too divided.
You think? Gee, I wonder how that happened. Hitler. Fascist, Nazi, you know, this is the lexicon I'm reading from the Democrat Party's playbook. Pretty amazing stuff. But he's all about unity.
My hope this Christmas season is that we take a few moments of quiet reflection, find that stillness in the heart of Christmas. It's at the heart of Christmas. And look, really look at each other, not as Democrats or Republicans, not as members of Team Red or Team Blue. But it's who we really are, fellow Americans, fellow human beings worthy of being treated with dignity and respect.
Unless you're one of those Hitler people, in which case, you know, you probably don't want that. That's to say that this rings hollow would be generous understatement.
I sincerely hope this holiday season will drain the poison that has infected our politics and set us against one another.
Yeah.
I hope this Christmas season marks a fresh start for our nation, because there's so much that unites us as Americans. so much more that unites us than divides us.
Yeah, you are part of what divides us, and you know, and that's you guys. Your treatment of 4 years of President Trump—that was very uniting, don't you think? That brought us closer together. I certainly think so. And Trump supporters, and you know, but and the threat to our democracy, and your threat to our democracy. And
you're a lion dog faced pony soldier,
and you're a lion dog faced pony soldier too, which is a neurodivergent line of. If I've ever heard one. Pretty amazing stuff, I've got to say. Also, I got a nice picture. Since we were talking to Aaron in Baltimore and getting his T-shirts at the Chris Plant Store, got a nice one from Dallas. We got a picture sent from Dallas of Jack Perry wearing his Remember Normal T-shirt. There's Jack right there in the picture. And it suggests, you know, people should send tweet pictures in of wearing the T-shirts at, you know, various places at Christmas around the world. That kind of a fun idea, I think. Yeah, but there's Jack in Dallas wearing his Remember Normal T-shirt. He's a big smile. Looks like a healthy, normal American being normal. Shiny, happy people having fun. You know, normal people. Not like lefties who are not normal. And very, speaking of which, we got this story from the Marine Corps Times, with a photograph of a Marine Corps drill instructor with his sword on shoulder and at attention, and he's shouting because he's Marine Corps drill instructor. And the headline is, "Why the Marine Corps May Nix Gender Identifiers for Drill Instructors." You know, your DI, you know, it's, sir, yes, sir. You know, I have to say, you know, they, yes, them, or something, because the Biden administration is in charge of the United States military, and the Democrat Party is in the midst of a gender dysphoric panic, which is a little discouraging. Will it be the end of sir and ma'am? A new academic report on efforts to integrate Marine Corps boot camp recommends dropping gender-specific salutations for drill instructors, but service leaders are not convinced they want to take that step. Well, that'd be good. It is the Marine Corps. You should probably start with, I don't know, the Air Force or something. Work your way to the Marine Corps. The lengthy report commissioned by the Corps, the Marine Corps, from the University of Pittsburgh in 2020, completed in 2022. It took 2 years because, you know, it's a funding stream. So, points out that half of the military services have already done away with gendered identifiers for training staff. The Army, Navy, and Coast Guard effectively de-emphasize gender in an integrated environment, the report states. Instead of saying ma'am or sir, recruits in these services refer to their drill instructors using their ranks or roles, followed by their last names. Sure. Hey, Fancy Pants Piercy. That's, you know. Gendered identifiers prime recruits to think about or visually search for a drill instructor's gender first before their rank or role. They're literally trying to do away with gender in the Marine Corps. The mental problems have become very severe. We need, forget the 87,000 IRS agents. We need 80,000 guys in white coats with nets running around the country, gathering up these people. Now, the Marine Corps still have men. I was talking to a friend of mine who was moving to Belize, building a property in Belize. And he says, you know, in Belize, they don't really talk a lot about gender dysphoria and gender confusion. Men are men and women are women. And, you know, and everybody's good with that. In fact, they laugh at Americans. In Belize, they're laughing at America. Because, you know, you got to say the United States, don't say America, at Stanford University. These people are unwell. We call them Democrats.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The feds just rolled out the biggest threat to privacy and freedom in years. It's called the digital dollar, and Order 14067 will give the government unprecedented power to control your money and your spending. You need to get out of cash now. Call 888-446-5320 to get your personal wealth protection guide. My friends at American Alternative Assets are there to help you protect your retirement savings by rolling over your IRA or 401k into a gold IRA. The fact is, you can hold physical gold and silver in your retirement account while maintaining its tax-deferred status. Call 888-446-5320 today to get your free wealth protection guide. This guide will answer all the questions you have. Protect your savings now before it's too late. Call American Alternative Assets at 888-4-GOLD-20 to secure your free gold and silver guide today. Call now, 888-446-5320. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better? Or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Steaks.com for 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use code SIZZLE at checkout, you get an extra $40 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship curated special take-the-guesswork out of gifting packages right away. So beat the rush and be a holiday hero. Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Use promo code SIZZLE at checkout for that extra $40 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast. Bo Jackson talks about his greatest accomplishment.
July 21st, 1990, I took third strike on purpose right down the pipe, turned around, had a few choice words with the umpire. He proceeded to toss me out of the game, spent the rest of the day with my wife and my baby girl, who was born that morning at 6:30 a.m.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. He bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Jason calling from Kensington, Maryland. Jason, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
G'day, Chris. First of all, Merry Christmas. I know I can still say that on this channel.
That's right.
So, Merry Christmas to you, and keep up the great work. And I was making my Christmas list this year. The list was what Democrats like and what they hate, and it was a lot easier doing the list of what they like.
Yeah.
And because it was very few on the list. I mean, they hate everything. I mean, they hate America, they hate the military, they hate church, they hate personal success.
The police.
I think they probably hate themselves.
Well, I think I was talking about this the other day, the self-loathing thing. It's why they hate humanity. It's why they have the voluntary human extinction movement going. And after, you know, that's an indicator that somebody's struggling on the inside, you know, that not only do you think you shouldn't live, but no one else should either. And that's a Democrat Party project. They hate the police. They hate law and order. They love murderers and criminals. You know, so that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I know they love control, and they like to have a group of people that are dependent. I think their very existence is on people that depend on them. I think once that dependence of people on them disappears, they would disappear.
Well, that's why they fight against God and Jesus being a part of Christmas or of public life, because it interferes, it competes with the control of the state, which is why the commies have always burned churches. And now we had Democrats burn two churches in Montgomery County, Maryland, not long ago, burn two churches in North Carolina, firebombing them, you know, with Molotov cocktails. And they set St. John's Church on fire, the Church of the Presidents. That wasn't a news story, though. I don't know if you noticed that, Jason. The news media didn't think that was much of a story.
Nah, thanks, mate.
Not January 6th. Thank you, Jason. Merry Christmas to you. Merry, merry. Happy Western civilization. Happy Judeo-Christian work ethic. Honestly, Western civilization is the best. We should stop and appreciate that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.